Thanks, Steve. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Wendy, I've asked our friend Dave Ennett to step in with us for a little bit here at the beginning of the show because I have a question for you, Dave. A sports-related question.
I can't wait.
I was listening to the news about an hour ago, and you were doing the sports, as you always do, and doing a bang-up job and reporting on all the top stories in sports, the Cubs and the White Sox and going on, mm-hmm. the NBA and mm-hmm. the NHL.
Yeah.
And then I got worried because you said something that I don't think is even a sentence.
Oh, no. What did I say?
You were talking about horse racing, and at some point you said they're having the race of the Black-Eyed Susans.
For the Black-Eyed Susans.
That's a flower.
Yes.
Is that a flower?
And I believe it's the state flower of the state of Maryland.
It's a late-blooming, summer-blooming flower, mm-hmm. so it's a little early for it.
How does everyone know this but me? Everybody knows this. I guess so, but I've heard of other flowers.
They look like a yellow daisy. The petals are yellow, and the center is black or brownish, really. Yeah. So a Black-Eyed Susan.
It is the state flower of Maryland.
Yeah.
It's been the official Maryland flower since 1918 when it was designated the floral emblem.
Are you reading
Maryland.
This or do you just know this?
I just, you
just
happen to know
this.
All right. It was on the tip of my tongue when you asked me the question. I was just taken aback a little bit.
Well, here's the better question. Yes. Why are horses competing to have this? Why do horses want this?
Why do they compete for roses in Kentucky?
Oh, all right. That's true, too.
Is that
I guess.
State flower of Kentucky?
Well, I don't know about that, but they call it the Run for the Roses.
Yeah, they
the
do.
The Kentucky Derby.
All right.
Bill only runs for.
If there's Pop Tarts,
nerds.
Right. If there's some sugary. If there's a sugary treat, I'll take a quick run. Well, I had never heard of this before, but evidently Wendy knows it and Steve knows it. I didn't know
it. The Preakness is the Run for the Black-Eyed Susans.
I had never heard that phrase before.
I'm sure the little, whatever it is, the sash, the floral sash is all made out of Black-Eyed Susans.
I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I'm driving and I felt so concerned for you because I said Dave's just saying words in any order he feels like.
But
now.
See, I feel so good now because I've enlightened you. You've learned something now.
I'm a smarter man now than I was
four
minutes ago.
Not just about sports, but about botany.
That's true too. Why don't you, during every sports report, include just a little botanical fact or two?
People love I'm going
that.
To
people would enjoy that.
I'm sure the people at the Botanic Garden will help me.
Last night was quite a night for both Chicago baseball teams. Now the White Sox have hit a little bit of a rough patch of late, but they're losing games, but always by a run or maybe two at the most.
They've lost six out of seven. Their six losses have been by a total of 9 runs. So they're not getting blown out, but they just haven't been able to quite
That's
come back all the way. That's really frustrating.
Yeah. Why don't you ask Dave, a couple of nights ago, there was some interference at the plate, and the umps didn't see it, and Robin Ventura did not dispute it.
This was two nights
ago.
Well,
he did. I mean, he did take issue with it.
Oh, okay.
But he seemed in line. And for people who didn't see the play, there was a strikeout, and then as the catcher's trying to get the ball over to second base, the batter completely blocked him, and that should be interference, and it should be an out.
Which would have been a double play, which would have ended in
the
inning there.
Right.
And the next batter comes up and hits a home run and wins the game.
Yeah. So if you're Robin Ventura, don't you get a little more fiery about that and say, hey, this is...
Ask Hitchcock that.
Right, Coach Hitchcock.
Because he
keeps a pretty even
oh my
keel.
God.
Yes, he does.
Yeah,
yes,
I mean, yes. No, I think, you know, it depends on your angle, too, because obviously the catcher, Alex Avila, there was no doubt in his mind that he was blocked.
Yeah.
But the umpire felt that the guy ducked. He thought the batter ducked.
Is that reviewable? Is that kind of play reviewable?
Well, they didn't review it, did they?
They did not.
They did not review
it. No, I would have asked for a review.
Three batters walk into a bar, one of them ducked.
I always ask for a review.
Thank you.
No matter what, every play.
I like that, Wendy.
I want
always
another...
ask for a review.
Yeah.
But it's been, I mean, there have been some weird things that have happened.
I know.
Like that the last night, the 12th inning with the Cubs and the Brewers.
Insane.
Where they're playing five infielders. They have Chris Bryant playing basically every position in one inning. It was
kind
of a Steve Lyons thing.
Right. And at some point, I don't know if anybody saw this because I know it was late at night, but in the bottom of the 12th inning, Chris Bryant, not only, as you said, played every position, but he kept going back and forth to the dugout and getting a different glove. And he traded gloves at one point with Javi Baez.
Well, they put Javi Baez at first base.
Yeah.
And then because Rizzo got hit by a pitch and they took him out for a pinch runner.
Right.
And that was Baez.
Yeah.
And then, who ended up scoring the tying run in the ninth inning.
Yeah.
But then he's playing first, and Bryant apparently has a first base glove, but it's not broken in. So they switched gloves. So Baez went over to third. Bryant went over to first.
For every batter, I know you didn't see it, but for every batter, Chris Bryant would go back to the dugout, switch gloves. Guys on the field would switch positions. And I think it was to make the Milwaukee Brewers dizzy because it was, you could see the batter was woozy. He's like, could we just take a couple minutes?
Yeah. Because that guy's over there. Now he's over there.
Right.
You know, it's funny you mentioned Javi Baez because when I was listening to Mark Carman and Adam Hoge and Jarrett Payton over the weekend on the beat, Carm is trying to make a new chant, Javi Nagila Baez. Yes,
I heard that.
You did? Yeah. And that's when they played you singing your song by Elton John.
My version of Elton John's Your Song, yes. So that was all part of karaoke last week.
Right. Can we start this Javi Nagila Baez?
I don't think it's caught on as far
it
as
hasn't.
That. Well, they haven't been home.
Right.
So
once they
that
come
was,
home,
I think, Sunday.
That's one reason.
Probably some other reasons.
But all in all, Dave, you have to admit, if you look back over the decades, the start of this baseball season, your first 40 games for both sides, for the north side and the south side, this has been
pretty
nothing
spectacular.
But exciting. Really?
It's really kind of unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because
just wait.
They win different. It's a long way to go.
It is.
But they find different ways to win. The Cubs, after they play this afternoon, they're going out to San Francisco, and the Giants are
it's a hot team.
They are really hot, and then they go to St. Louis.
Yeah.
So I think the rest of this road trip will be a challenge, and the Sox, after they finally get rid of Houston after tonight, and they have Chris Sale going tonight, who's been unbeatable, and then they have Kansas City, the defending World Series champs, and Cleveland, and I think they play 10 straight against those two teams.
Yeah.
So we'll find out a little more. I mean, they've teams are going to go through slumps.
Yeah, sure.
And as Bill mentioned, thank God, our Chicago sports teams and baseball are doing well because, we really miss hockey now that it's not going on anymore.
Yeah, we're used to it. This time of year, we'd be getting
who
ready
won the
for
Stanley
a
Cup because I haven't been watching.
It's not
it's
over
still
yet.
Going.
Oh,
it's
really?
Still going. Still going. Yeah. Down to 14.
How many minutes have you watched?
I would say a grand total of about 15 to 20.
Zero.
It's really nothing? Yeah.
Just too painful?
I just don't like anyone else but us. That's really the end of it. You want to invest something when you're watching a game in your team.
Sure,
so
of course.
I don't care.
Can I just explain, and this is probably heresy,
yeah,
but I want to see the St. Louis Blues win the Stanley Cup. And I will tell you,
we know why.
You know my theory? Did I explain this to you?
No, but there are a lot of people that think like you. Go ahead.
Not that I want to root for a St. Louis team. Not that I want to root for the Blues. And I'm not a Blues fan at all. Although Joel Quenneville came on with us and said he's pulling for the Blues.
Really?
Of course, he used to coach there for many years, and he's friends with the coach, and he's got a good relationship there with Hitchcock. But to me, if you look at history now, it's been since 1998 that the team has repeated as Stanley Cup champ.
Yeah.
So let St. Louis win. Because they're not going to win it 2 years in a row, and that's one team that you don't have to worry about next year when the Blackhawks get going again.
All right, I like that. I thought you were going to say because they beat us, so you want the
team
that
also,
beat us to win.
Well, I do generally follow that line of thinking, but in this case, there's a better reason. But it's
I like
a good,
your reason.
But it's a good reason. They're not going to win it 2 years in a row, so let them win it this year, and then you don't have to worry about them winning it next year.
Our theory, a meaner theory than yours, is the Blues should have no joy at all because they took joy away from us. You know what I mean? They should be able to celebrate since they hurt our feeling.
And I got in a fight with my son Dylan, my youngest son. He's 13, and he said, I want to see the Blues go all the way and then fizzle and lose it all. I said, not me. I want him out right away. I don't know which is the proper way to hate.
Right. See, I think he's kind of more sadistic than Bill.
You know him?
Yeah. Yeah. He wants things to happen to their families and stuff.
No,
it gets
come on.
Nuts,
he's
Dave.
No Donald Trump.
Oh, it gets crazy. Thank you. I now understand these black-eyed Susans and why horses are running for them. I had no idea, but you have cleared things
I don't know
up.
If the horses know.
They may not know. No. Right.
Will Fergie from the Black-Eyed Peas be there in attendance?
Yeah, she's always there. She's always there. Thank you, Dave. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Dave Ennett's one of those guys that I still can't believe that I work with. Do you ever get that about him or anybody else
you.
Here? You get that about me?
I can't believe work with you.
It is shocking. Somebody has to. You lost the lottery, so it's you. But I listened to Dave for years and years and years, and I've told him this. Whenever I hear Dave's voice, it's a crisp fall day, and there's football going on, yeah. And it's a day off. And I don't know what it is about just the way he talks, but I love that. I mean, I love him as a person, too, but his voice, he's perfect.
My guy is Steve Bertrand.
Is Steve your guy?
Yeah.
He's my guy, too.
I know he is.
Yeah.
When you hear Steve's voice, what does that put you in the mind of?
It soothes me.
It's soothing, isn't it? Yeah.
When I'm in the car, if I'm in the studio with him, it gets me so
makes your blood
irate.
Boil. Sure.
Yeah. But all the years working with the girlfriends.
Yeah.
Big fan of Steve
Bertrand, me too.
But don't tell him.
No, I wouldn't say anything to Steve. Did you get caught up in, you know, from time to time on the internet, and you have the internet now, don't you?
Just
on your
got
computer.
It.
From time to time on the internet now, they will show you some sort of visual trick. Do you remember a year ago they showed you a dress, and when people would see the dress, half the people went, well, that's a white dress I'm looking at.
Gold and white or blue and black.
Yeah.
Never forget it.
Yeah.
I will never forget that dress.
It was an optical illusion, and depending on who you were, you saw the dress either one color scheme or the other color scheme. All right. Yesterday, I don't know who's in charge of the internet now, but the guy in charge of the – is it Al Gore again? Al Gore decided to put another optical illusion on his internet, and what you had this time was – what looked to be a brick wall. You could just look at this wall, and it was a wall of bricks, but that's not exactly what you were seeing. Did you by any chance happen to see this? Kevin, can we put this on our Facebook page? Yeah? All right. Kevin will put it up on the Facebook page.
Hang on, I'm going to our Facebook page. Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder.
Yeah, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on Facebook. And if you haven't seen this, now I'm going to warn you before anything else, a lot of people who are commenting on this, not on our Facebook page because we're just putting it up now, but were upset because they said, boy, I'm looking at this picture for 20 minutes or 25 minutes, and all I see is a brick wall. And then even upon being explained what else you could possibly see, they were furious, saying, why don't I see this? I'm not tooting my own horn. I saw it in 3 seconds. Like, it took me a total of 3 seconds to look at this brick wall and go, well, yeah, but it's also this.
A smiley face?
You're looking at it, right?
Is this it? Because I see like a little
emoticon,
an emoji as a smiley face.
No, that has nothing to do with
and
it.
And I see a smashed mouse.
Nope, that's not it either. That's a problem with your monitor. The lady usually comes in and scrapes the mice off the monitor. She's off today.
All right, so, that's why it's there.
Yeah.
But should we give it away or should we give people a chance to look at
it? Well, everybody please take a look at it when you get a chance. If you're driving, wait till you get home. I don't want anybody to crash over this. But people are so frustrated because they're wasting 20 or 25 minutes staring at this thing and they don't see it. And then even when it's explained to them, they say, nah, I still don't see it. But it was, to me, I'm like, how could you not see it? It's right there.
I can scroll down one sentence and find out what it is I'm supposed to be looking for, but I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Yeah, it's tempting. I know it's tempting.
Because I'm really good with those Rorschach tests, you know, where
the
are these. Yeah, are they two people kissing or are they two gorillas flexing muscles?
Right.
I go with the gorillas usually.
Right.
But I'm usually really good where I can see both immediately.
Yeah. And a lot of times with these, once you see one, your mind is locked into it and you can't see the other one. But with this particular one, with this brick wall illusion, I think once you know what it is, you can see both. You can trick your mind to see one, then the other, then the other.
I got it.
Do you know what it is?
One is a brick wall. One is a brick floor.
That's not it. That's not it. I would tell you if that was it. I would tell you. Do you remember a couple of years ago there were optical illusion books that were extremely popular where you could see stuff in like 3D? You could stare at a picture and see it in 3D.
I love that.
Again, whenever my wife and I were at a bookstore, for those of you out there who are younger, bookstores were these things that used to sell books.
Excuse me, Anderson's bookstore?
Oh, there are still a couple.
I mean, Barnes & Noble,
there are still a couple
out there.
There's a few floating around. But whenever we would page through one of these, I would see what you were supposed to see immediately. And my wife would look at it and look at it and look at it and just couldn't. She goes, how could it can't be this.
I'm not listening to you. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
What's in
the
wall.
That's mind blowing right there. You don't see it yet, Wendy?
I'm really good at this. I do have astigmatism, but I'm usually really good at seeing this. I see.
You also have stigmata. You should tell people that.
Will you hand me a Band-Aid?
Wish you'd clean that up.
That's five Band-Aids.
I see the Hawaiian Islands.
Oh, Wendy's been here.
I see emoji. No, it's none of those things. On the far right, the one brick is a smiley face
It's
brick.
None of those things.
I see Linda and Michael, and I see you too.
Romper Room. It's Miss Elizabeth.
I don't want to spoil it for myself.
Steve, how long did it take you to see the other thing?
Well, you know, just until I scrolled down and read it.
Oh, then you saw the answer?
See, I'm not cheating.
That's crystal clear now.
But there are people who know the answer to this, and the answer, once the answer is given, you go, oh, of course, how did I not see this? But there's other people who, once given the answer to this, still don't see it.
Yeah, it becomes 3D when you're told.
Right, right, right. Hmm. You don't see it. Don't feel bad. I poured through comments yesterday, because like I said, it took me 3 seconds, and I'm like, how are people not seeing this? And then I'm looking at comments saying, this is a trick. There is no second picture.
Which did you see first, the brick wall
or
the egg?
The brick wall immediately, because, I mean, when you see it, you go, well, that's a brick wall. What else could it be? But then, can you explain to people what you just did? Please explain what you just did.
I have been looking at this thing cross-eyed. I've been squinting, and now
Wendy did a double take.
I turned away and like, just looked at it very rapidly.
Like the little rascals would have done.
Like she was flipping her hair?
Yes.
Yeah, like I thought I'd all of a sudden see it in a different light.
You cleared your brain like it was an Etch-a-Sketch. You shook your head like an Etch-a-Sketch.
You know, you can give yourself a concussion that way.
Don't do that.
Damn it.
I know. It can be frustrating.
It's Nobody tell clear. Me. I'm not checking the text, so you
You
check.
Don't want to see the answers?
I don't want to know yet, and I want to give people a chance. I'm crying.
The other thing is the part you're looking at that you know is part of it.
Yeah.
Is part of it.
Yeah, it is. An apparent part. Like, not even... Because there's something... For people who can't see this picture right now, it is a brick wall. There's no doubt about it. You're looking at a brick wall. But there's some part of it... That you go, well, that's too, that, why would that not be a part of it? It's so apparent that that has to be, and it is.
Oh.
Now you still don't see it.
Right.
Right. Of course. All right. We'll take a break.
Don't tell me anybody.
I'm not going to tell you.
And listeners, we will not reveal it. We'll give you some time. How about through the news?
Yeah, that's fair.
Because I hate when people spoil stuff.
I know.
Give it a double take one more time. People are watching online.
Do that again. Yeah, that's still
I thought it
work.
Would just, I looked away to, you know, cleanse my visual palette, and then I looked really quickly, and I still don't understand it.
No, that's not how you do it. You'll figure it out. All right, we'll take a quick break. Steve with the news and then more show. And we will explain this. I promise. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Steve Dale is a noted pet expert.
Noted.
Known the galaxy over as being one of the foremost authorities on all things pet related. And he's here right now to talk about pets. Hello, Steve.
Hello. I'm honored to be here, always.
Thank you.
Honored to have you.
Thank you.
Steve,
thank
you were you. Just explaining to Wendy and I that sometimes, and I don't know that this has ever happened. I know it's never happened to me. I don't know about Wendy. But you left town, you came back to town, and all of a sudden your name's in the papers, and you didn't know that was coming. What happened?
No, I'm getting all these texts and things. And Alderman Ray Lopez and others have said, you know, and they're right, have said this doesn't really make any sense that we fine people for not picking up dog poop in their own backyard. Now, they do need to pick up dog poop, but the...
In your yard.
Yeah, but to have streets and sand personnel go out to backyards. So I have lots of questions about that. First of all, how long does the dog poop need to be there? Who judges when it smells too much to be a problem? And it's private property. And the assertion is by our mayor that this will stop the rats. Well, it won't.
Rats don't eat poop.
You're right. Not dog poop. They eat their own, actually, on occasion. But they tend not to eat dog poop. I suppose if they are starving. But, you know, I've actually read studies about what Norway rats, Norwegian rats, those are the city rats that we have, not domestic rats, what they eat. And way down on the list, if it even appears on the list at all, is dog poop. They really don't eat it. And in a place like Chicago, there are so many other choices. You find rats in alleys, right?
Sure.
And in alleys, what are they doing? They are eating trash. Garbage. And they tend to eat, live near where they eat.
Yeah. All right.
So do I, oddly enough.
Yeah, we all do.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make, you know, we have already got, now for decades, laws on the books that I love. They're right. The ordinances, that suggest that you do need to pick up in public places after your dog. That's not been enforced.
Yeah.
So when we can enforce that, which is a public health issue, incidentally, potentially, when we can enforce that, then let's talk about people's private backyards.
All right.
I am very guilty of leaving things until spring comes and the snow melts, and then I go around and get a big trash bag and pick it all up. So under this guise, I would be getting fined, and it's my own yard.
Theoretically, if it smells enough that your neighbors complain.
Well, I think they do the same thing.
Well, right, but the neighbor, it's complaint-driven. So, I mean, it's not that the streets and sand people are going to go into every yard, but then how do you know when the complaint is valid? I mean, is it four? What do you call pieces of poop? Four piles? Is it
I
eight
call
piles?
Them tiki burgers.
Is it eight burgers? I mean, how much is too much, you know? That's the
and
other thing. It's just not...
People who put mulch on their property, that smells like horse poop because a lot of times it's mixed
it
in with
yeah, it.
Yeah,
it is.
So
it
can
is.
I make a complaint about that?
I guess so. That's a really good point, actually. You
how
know?
Much is the fine, Steve?
I don't. I'd have don't to look know. It up to something.
Number two, $2.
Oh, it's $2? That makes
more,
sense.
Yeah, a little more than that, I think, potentially. Yeah.
Well, you got your name in the paper, and that's nice because now your grandmother can clip it out and put it on the refrigerator.
Okay.
So what's wrong with that?
Well, my grandmother isn't living.
Oh,
what's
all right,
wrong
that's
with
what's
that,
wrong though. With that. That's, I knew there was right. some glitch in that. You wanted to discuss Lyme disease. So
yeah.
Let's. What's going yeah. on with Lyme disease?
So here's the thing that is shocking. Are you ready to be shocked?
Yeah, shock
so,
us.
Even if you live in Chicago or in Evanston or in a place that you think, I'm in an urban area. I mm-hmm. don't have to worry about Lyme until I go up to Wisconsin or out to Michigan or out on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. Lyme disease is active in Chicago. So much so that I was talking to a veterinarian whose client is a little white fluffy dog. And this dog, and it's easy in veterinary medicine. In fact, it's routine. So when you get that heartworm test that I hope you all get every year, it's actually a four-way test. And veterinarians, if they're doing the test that is typically done, also routinely test for heartworm as well as three kinds of tick disease, actually four kinds, including Lyme disease. If that test comes back positive, then depending on the dog, the symptoms, if there are any, and what that veterinarian wants to do, that dog can be treated. It's as simple as that. Not so much in human medicine. That's not the case at all. So the client comes in and she says, hi, how are you? And the client says, I've been feeling kind of run down, but I'm okay. And
this
then they
is,
go
by the
ahead.
Way, this is a reenactment, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
And not a very good one.
No,
and they go ahead and do the test, and it's an in-clinic test, so bing, bang, it's done. She comes back and says, your dog is showing positive antibodies for Lyme.
Yeah.
And they talk about that. And then she said, oh, by the way, you might want to consider getting yourself tested for Lyme. You know, because we share environments with our dog. And it turns yeah. out, indeed, she came back and had Lyme disease.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so
and
it's
if,
here.
If gone untreated, it can be devastating. Remember we had that young
that girl,
girl
yeah.
Yeah.
who is very disabled because of it. And she got the Lyme test and it came back negative, yet it was positive.
Yeah, on the human side, it's not so clear cut. So we can actually do more to prevent Lyme and detect Lyme in our dogs than we can ourselves. But still, thinking about this, I thought, you know what? We share environments with our dogs. Dogs are sentinels for Lyme and other tick diseases as well. When you talk to the veterinary parasitologist, we know that there's an epidemic out there. You're going to hear more about this in the news in the upcoming years, but I happen to know that that's the case. So knowing that, I thought, all right, if you're outside, someone's on the other end of that leash, if your dog is diagnosed positive, maybe you should get yourself checked out as well. So I went to the American Veterinary Medical Association. I said, good idea. They said, yes. Went to the Global Lyme Alliance, and I said, good idea. And they said, yes. And now this is a national campaign that we launched, an awareness campaign.
Great
that,
idea. No one would think to do that.
What's the test for Lyme disease in a human? What do they do? Is that a blood test or
it's
something
It's a
else?
Blood test, but to get the doctor to think and sort of going that down that road, it can
They'd
be challenging.
They never think of it, you
and,
know?
And there's controversy as to how effective that test is, how accurate that test is.
Yeah.
So it's helpful to know that if you have a dog that is positively detected for any of the tick diseases, think about it.
Uh-huh.
Think about calling your doctor. Also, think about checking yourself for ticks, checking your kids especially. So kids tend to go where dogs go. They're down on the ground. They're yep. investigating things. Ticks don't jump up and attack you. So kids are often more likely to get bitten by ticks than and dogs are than adults are. not necessarily the case, but sometimes that's true. Also, kids don't know what that little black speck on them is.
I saw one when Dylan was in the bath when he was really little. I thought it was a mole.
Yeah.
And upon further inspection, I'm like,
They're tiny very often. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really important.
That's noted pet expert Steve Dale. We will talk more about pets with Steve. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 is our call line and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. Noted pet expert Steve Dale is sitting right over there. We're talking about pets. Steve, you were telling us a story a little while ago, but you left out a website that's very, very crucial. Do you want to give that website out?
Yeah, thank you. I was talking about tick disease. I'm talking about dogs and people. StopLyme.com. Lyme is L-Y-M-E. StopLyme.com. I just came back from the Ohio State University College of Veterinary Medicine, and an exciting announcement was made there. Blue Buffalo, the pet food company, said, we are going to spend not $1 million, that's not enough, or $2 million. We're spending $6 million for clinical trials so you can study and work with medical doctors as well at the veterinary school, cancer in both pets and in people, and they're starting with osteosarcoma, which is bone cancer, which is a kind of cancer that tends to happen in larger dogs like greyhounds, but also children. And apparently, I did not know this, but the oncologist explained to me, we've hit sort of a block with children where we can help some, but not others. And while most can be helped, it doesn't matter if 70% can be helped if you're that 30% that cannot be. And it's tragic. These are kids, you know? So we can actually learn, it's thought, because dogs get the same exact kind of cancer. So we can actually learn from dogs how to help kids.
I know there's been a debate, though, Steve, as to which animals can help in these studies. And they've used rats traditionally, but a dog is more susceptible to the same or similar cancers as humans than rats are. That everyone knows that, right?
Yeah, exactly right. So you don't have to...
Because they live in our house?
Yeah. You don't have to induce these cancers in dogs. Unfortunately, they get the same, for the most part, they get the same exact ones. They show the similar, if not the same, symptoms as we do. So why not study dogs? We can help dogs. We can help people. Also, it's a better model. I mean, rats only live a couple of years at best, so you can't tell what the long-term impact of a drug is because there is no long-term with a rat. With dogs, at least there's many years to come, and we do know what their normal lifespan is. Also, dogs are genetically closer to us. Now, what you can do with rats, apparently, is you can model their genetics, which helps researchers in some ways, but for the most part, it makes so much more sense to have this happen with dogs.
Yeah.
They get the cancers anyway, as I said. Mm-hmm. And we can help our best friends as well as help us. And right now it's happening because of Blue Buffalo Pet Food Company. And I'm so excited about this. It's called comparative medicine. And it's sort of a One Health thing, which I was talking about with ticks and people earlier.
Yeah.
We live in the same environment as our dogs. They live in the same environment as we do. Cancer is complicated. In part, it's genetic. But in part, it's environmental, too.
Mm-hmm.
So why not better understand cancer through dogs if we can? And all the experts believe we can.
And how do we help? By buying Blue Buffalo?
Yeah, I suppose in that case. They also have a foundation themselves, Blue Buffalo Cancer Foundation. I might not be getting that exact name right, but I'm sure folks can find it. I'll be writing about it as well, writing about this specifically and what Blue Buffalo has done. It is exciting.
All right, we have a question for you. Jim is on the line with us with a great question, a scary question. Jim, go ahead. Steve Dale here.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you? Thank you, Steve, for all you do for us pet lovers. I have a question. You know, with the city putting out so many rat baits, what happens to a dog if they so happen to eat some of the rat baits?
Dog can get very sick and potentially die. And if you note that has happened with your dog, grab the rat bait too, because apparently there's different toxins and different baits. And it's treated differently at the emergency clinics, depending on what the dog has swallowed. But yeah, kids can get into this as well. So our mayor says, let's bait more. And to some extent, I understand that. But actually, the rats, first of all, they figure this out. they over time, families of, so you may kill some rats in the family, but others figure out, okay, we don't eat that anymore.
The great grandmother knows. She's been around the block. She knows not to eat that. Oh, no, that's not tasty. Well, and it's going to kill me.
Well, they actually, studies have been done where rats detect why other rats have died and they sniff the toxin on the rat and they stay away from that. Believe it or not.
That's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I mean, rats are that good at surviving.
Why are they so smart?
They're
and so
smart.
Ugly at the same time.
Yeah.
So. You know, little kids can get into this stuff too. It's just, and it gets into our water table, I guess. It just doesn't seem
to. Water table.
Yeah. I mean, this stuff, the rain eventually sweeps it down to the sewers and eventually it ends up in the lake. And then the water we drink, I don't mean to scare anyone. I'm sure our water is perfectly safe.
Really?
It's just not a good, it's not the only solution. There has to be more than one solution. So at Treehouse Humane, there's the Working Cats program where they take cats already spayed, neutered, and they say, okay, we'll relocate these cats that are already out there to places where there are rats. That's one answer. There are a variety of answers. The best, maybe garbage cans, the clothes that rats cannot get into.
Yeah, but they chew, the opossums chew the lids and the raccoons chew the lids, so the lids don't fit anymore.
Well,
they're all out to get us.
Rats can too. If they're not, so the plastic, the hard plastic lids, rats can chew right through that, but not the metal.
Thank you, Jim, for calling. And obviously, if you think your dog has eaten poison, take it to a vet and bring the poison with you.
Yes, yes.
Bark in the Park this weekend?
Oh, yeah. The most exciting weekend ever. Hundreds of dogs show up right next to Soldier Field.
Bill?
I'm going.
Bill is helping me MC.
I'm going to be there.
So I'll be out there with Jose Sanders, Roz Varen, Bart Shore from another radio station, myself, and apparently Bill Leff and his pet Gibbon.
Yep.
We will be
Peanut the Gibbon
all,
will be there.
Peanut.
We
will, you still have Peanut?
Yeah, Peanut the Gibbon said to say hello to you, Steve.
Thank you very much. Peanut's lived a very long time.
He's like 30.
Yeah.
At least.
He's shocked the animal kingdom. Nobody knows why Peanut is living this long.
Looks,
he looks great.
Well, probiotics.
A lot of it's probiotics.
Looks good because of both. Tux.
Thank you. Gibbonologists are baffled by him. They've never seen anything like this.
I can't
Neil
wait
Gibbons
to see,
is totally baffled.
Right.
I can't wait to see Peanut. So this is right next to Soldier Field. It's a place called The Green. It's this coming Saturday at 9 o'clock. You can register right there or go to anticrueltysociety.org. This is really important because last year, because of the dog flu epidemic, they had to cancel.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is their biggest fundraiser of the year. They do so much for animals. They, by numbers, I believe, save more animals than any other shelter in Chicago, not to mention all the educational programs, all the other things that Anti-Cruelty does. So I hope to see you out there this Saturday, 9 a.m., Bark in the Park. Of course, it is a dog-friendly event. That's the whole idea. You walk along the lakefront, you take your camera, take beautiful pictures of the city, and it is, thank you very much, Andy Avalos, supposed to be very nice outside.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks for all you do for the animals, too.
Yeah, Steve.
We love our furry friends.
Oh, thank you.
You're a saint. You are.
No, that, I think,
saint
now Steve. I think you're pushing it.
No, come on. All right.
Who's the patron saint of, is it St. Anthony?
St. Peter, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Of the zoological kingdom?
Of animals.
Oh, he is? I didn't know that. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it. Steve Dale, everybody. Visit him. We'll be back after this. News
in the home.
Next. In the home. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
We were talking about an optical illusion that is up on Facebook and all over the internet, and it looks like a brick wall, and that's still all I see.
It is a brick wall. I mean, it's strange because what you see, we talked about this at the beginning of the show, and we wanted to give everybody a chance to see the picture for yourself. It's at our Facebook page, Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on Facebook. So what you're looking at is a brick wall, but there's something going on besides the brick wall that some people see immediately. It took me 3 seconds to see
it. This is killing me.
And I couldn't believe people don't see it immediately, because once you know what it is, you go, oh, yeah, it's right there. So it falls under the guise of optical illusion.
But you just tell me.
You want me to just tell you? You don't want to find it on your own? You'll
appreciate
it more
if you
earn
day.
It.
I don't like to earn anything. I like things just
handed to me. Well, I want to give everybody a chance again if you haven't seen it. And I don't know how to do this, because I don't want to ruin this for anybody who hasn't seen it at some point. But
I'm sure everybody but me has seen what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Either someone has told them. All right, don't tell me.
Keep working on it.
Steve, can we give her a hint?
No. If you're going to give me a hint, just tell me. Don't do anything. Yeah, just let me suffer.
Okay, let me give you a hint here.
I'm a martyr.
Are you sure?
I'm the optical illusion martyr.
I don't think it would help.
No, it wouldn't help. But Steve, again, if you haven't seen this, I know how frustrating this is. It's at our Facebook page. See the picture for yourself. It's a brick wall, but it's also something else. You're also saying, wow, now you see it.
It's the gold and white dress.
Yeah, it's not. It's not that at all.
Damn it.
It's not that. But then, like I said, I'm reading comments from people who once they were given the answer to it.
They still couldn't see it?
Still don't see it. And that I don't understand. All right.
I want some sort of psychological study of you that you always see these things first.
It takes me...
So he says. Bill is competitive. He likes to be the first at everything.
You know what I think it has something to do with? I think it has
is
something
why he hangs
to do
with you, Wendy?
With being... I'm ambidextrous. When I play sports, I can play sports left-handed and right-handed.
Bragger.
But don't you think that has something to do with it?
No, I
really
don't think
it
has anything to do with it.
Is that your
anything.
Best quality or Bill? What's your best quality?
I'm ambidextrous.
My ambidexterity. I think that because maybe...
I think you put yourself on a pedestal. That's what I see in that picture.
That's what it is. It's me on a pedestal.
Standing on the brick wall.
And you're looking at my dress.
I
Stop
am.
Stop doing that.
I like what I see. I got to be honest with
Quit
you.
It. All right.
I don't think, but, you know, maybe we should have some kind of an eye. Is it an ophthalmologist?
They
we should
come
have
on
them
us.
On.
No, it's tried. A brain thing, not an eye thing.
It's
really.
A brain
All
thing.
All right, a neurosurgeon.
You must have a huge brain.
I do have a large brain. But you know how, like, I'm willing to accept the Cubs and the White Sox, and most people are like, well, you can't.
That's
you have
because
to like
you're ambidextrous?
That's another great
brain,
quality.
I think I'm ambibrainous, I think.
Well, you just proved you weren't.
You would be so believable if you could only figure out the word.
The language is tough. What would the word be?
Not ambibrainiac.
Yeah, it is. That's the word.
Are you ambulatory?
I have been.
Okay,
yeah, there have been
good.
Times I have been. All right, people are calling in now. Obviously upset.
All right,
I think they're upset.
I just want to say there might be a spoiler alert coming. So if you're listening right now and you haven't looked at the brick wall on the internet, Dan, are you going to ruin it for us?
No, I'm not. But it's always a pleasure to listen to the both of you.
Thank you.
And
man.
I was last night on my iPad. Facebooking, staring at that wall, and I could never see anything. Now, I'm colorblind, and I feel that may be the reason. I'm colorblind with greens and reds, I think it is.
Oh, because Bill is ambidextrous. Did you know that?
I'm ambibranious.
I don't. Dan, special, but
I don't think being colorblind would have any bearing on.
How do you
I don't
know?
Think. I could be wrong.
Is it color related?
Not really.
I think the color would help.
It would help, but it wouldn't hold you back from seeing the second image, I think.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
And which colors can't you see? Which colors are you unable to detect?
Red and green.
Christmas must be awful.
And what do you do at a stoplight?
I learned what is on the top and what's on the bottom. Green is on the bottom and red is on the top.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, is that what it is, a stoplight? The brick wall?
No. No. And you've always had that with being colorblind? That's been since birth?
Yes, I've grown up with it. So it's no big deal for me. But if I go to take my driver's test or certain things that you do where you got to see a number in a bunch of little dots, you know, it really makes it hard for me to see at that point. But I cannot make out any image. And I studied that thing on Facebook last night for probably an hour. You know, there were a couple different views on it.
Right.
I can never pick up anything.
And and you still don't know the answer to what the other what you
and
should...
I do not know, and I won't ruin it for Wendy. I do not know what it is.
All right. That's fair. Well, Dan, thank you. We appreciate it.
Thanks
for the call. Thank you. That's what I mean, though. He spent an hour last night. At the end of an hour, wouldn't you just go, this is insane. Why can't I see this?
I can't see it.
You haven't spent a solid hour, though. You've only glanced at it a few times and made funny facial expressions to clear your brain so you can see it each time. You've done that several times. I'm watching you do it going, that's not going
to
work.
Well, you know how you like to get a fresh look at something, a fresh perspective? I think maybe once I reboot,
that's
I could...
Not, but I've seen you like shake your head like it's... An Etch-A-Sketch. I've seen you blink like you're Genie on I Dream of Genie.
I was looking through my hands to blur it out. Oh, look, and then I see it.
Yeah, it's not working, is it?
Are there lips involved?
No. Nope. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I want to tell you about the policy that's going on at a restaurant in Milwaukee that some are applauding and others are saying, are you crazy? You can't do that in a restaurant. I'll explain what that means next. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It is a beautiful sunny day, and it's a great day to have a protest, and we'll find out about that in just a second. This week, Brittany and Elliot roll back the clock to a simpler time and roll out to the best retro restaurants. Chicago's Best, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV. Bill, there's been talk about the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art coming to Chicago, and it's been in a holding pattern for almost 2 years because the Friends of the Parks are trying to put a stop to this because they don't want anything obscuring the beautiful lakefront. I understand their concern for the lakefront, but on the line with us right now is Reverend Dr. Leon Finney, and you are with the Coalition to Build the Lucas Museum, and you are having a little rally in front of the Friends of the Parks offices today at about, what, noon?
Yes, we will be gathering at the at the Friends of the Park office at 17 South State Street.
Is it north or south? Because in this information, I have 17 North. Just don't want to send people to the wrong spot.
I think it's south.
All right, we'll look that up. But it's the Friends of the Park headquarters. And at 12:15 today, you are rallying the troops. And in a nutshell, you want this museum to proceed. Why is it that you want that so much?
Yeah, well, here's the point. We are there to protest the actions of the Friends of the Park. And we want to send a message to the Friends of the Park that the people of Chicago want this museum. And this is the reason why. We want good-paying jobs for our Chicago residents. We want jobs for our un- and underemployed Chicagoans. We want business for our small and medium-sized business. We want economic stimuli for the communities that surround where the museum will be built. And we want the museum to be built on the site of McCormick Place East, which is an underutilized building, because it will free up 12 acres of now built-up land back to open space. We think that the museum will be a great economic stimulus for the city of Chicago, and it will be good for us for generations to come.
Agreed. I really, you know, the Friends of the Parks, I know there are people that live in the city and want to preserve the lakefront, and we all should be able to have a say in it. It seems funny that a small group of people gets to put the kibosh on this.
Yeah, and for 2 long years, they've held this museum up. And enough is enough. And we want to let the Friends of the Park know that we will press until they decide to support us.
I don't think they're going to drop the lawsuit, though.
This is just one day. And we'll be back time and after time after time until they relent.
I don't think they're going to relent. I think it's obvious that they've hung on to this for 2 years, hoping George Lucas and Melody Hobson look elsewhere, which they are right now, back to San Francisco. I don't think the Friends of the Parks are ready to back down at any time. Do you?
Well, it depends upon whether or not the people are more important than the Friends of the Park.
All right, 17 North State Street. It is North State
17
Street.
17 North State.
It's okay, Friends of
17.
The Parks headquarters, and the rally is going to be happening at 12:15 p.m. Coalition, yep. Number 2, Coalition to Build the Lucas Museum. You guys are going to organize. It is expected, according to numerous reports I read, 8,000 to generate 8,000 construction jobs if the Lucas Museum of Narrative Arts is built, as well as 1,500 long-term employment opportunities.
Right.
And people are going to come see this.
Yeah, well, we want to save our city, our whole city. It's not just about the lakefront. But guess what? If they were concerned about the lakefront, then they would be happy to see the McCormick Place torn down and a smaller building built there. But I don't think that they're really concerned about the lakefront. And so we're going to take this matter to the streets, and we are going to organize the entire city of Chicago to protest this small elite group as they have acted to stall and delay, hoping that the Lucas family would give up. But we're not going to give up.
Those are strong fighting words, Reverend Dr. Leon Finney. And if anyone is in support of the Lucas George Lucas Museum of Narrative Art, and I am, and there are a lot of people that are, show up today, 17 North State Street, in front of the Friends of the Parks headquarters at 12:15. Maybe get there at noon a little early so you can get the...
Yep.
Do you have any chants ready? Anything that, you know, we want the museum... No, yeah, I don't really have one ready.
You can use that one, doctor, if you want to use that one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
You don't have any ready, or you're all prepared to bring them forward then?
We want the Lucas Museum now. We want the Lucas Museum for jobs. We want the Lucas Museum for business.
The Mucus Museum?
Lucas Museum. Oh.
Give us the Lucas Museum.
All right. Well, sir, this is a fight that I want to know what the deal is. Why is the holdup? Why 2 years? Do they have something against George Lucas? It just really seems like not a lot of people offer to give a museum to the museum campus of Chicago. It just seems so strange to me.
And they want to put up $750,000 of their own money. It's crazy. But anyway, we're getting ready to load up. And so we'll be heading over there in a few minutes.
All right. Thank you so much. He is Reverend Dr. Leon Finney. Good luck with the rally.
Thank you.
If you're for it, go. It's the Coalition to Build the Lucas Museum Protest March and Press Conference, Friends of the Park Headquarters, 17 North State Street, today at 12:15. You have some time to get over there. And if you're not for it, then just don't show up to the rally.
Oh, all right.
That's really all you have to do.
I think if they use the chant that you just gave him, that
I don't even remember what I said.
We want the museum.
Well, really, what else is there to say? And if you're there, then you're going to want the museum.
Right. Now, if I go and just chant Crawford, that's not going to work, right? That's not what they're looking for.
You know, a lot of times at these rallies, people just take leadership from someone who starts something. So yeah. I bet you'll get people to say that
still.
People will
chant Crawford with me. All right. I'll head over there.
I find this crazy, and good luck, because I would like to see the museum here. I just feel like we're fighting a losing battle.
I know.
I think it's over.
I know. All right.
You were going to tell us about a place in Milwaukee.
Yeah. Sadly,
do you want to wait till later? We have a second show today, you know.
Let's do another show. Steve will come in. He'll do some time. He's got an hour in him. And then we'll come back and we'll tell you about a restaurant in Wisconsin, in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, that has divided the city. Some people are with them. Some people are against them.
We want the museum.
We want the museum, people are shouting in Milwaukee.
With cheese on it.
Yes. Yes.
And beer.
Yeah, that's part of it, too. All right. More show. Stick around. Bill Money, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films, then Dean's your guy. So grab yourself some popcorn. He will not talk about hard points.
He's Dean, Bill.
Oh, you can't argue that. He's definitely Dean Richards. Normally, you and I get to speak with Dean on the phone, but because of this big WGN Walk of Fame ceremony, right. Dean comes in now.
I hang out in front of the plaque.
Hey, guys, right. Before you start, can I just interrupt for one second? Just to let you know, we're getting word that Egypt Air's vice president is saying that they have found the wreckage of Flight 804, so we'll keep you posted on that. That's all I have right now, but it looks like they have found the wreckage of that flight that went down.
Thank you, Kim. We'll certainly be watching that story as the day progresses.
What a bizarre story to wake up to a story like that.
Terrible.
Again, and that gut feeling that you have in your stomach of, was it terrorism? Again, I think that's what a lot of people first thought.
Sure, of course.
I can't tell you, you know, you wake up in the morning and I get these AP alerts on my phone, Dean. I'm sure you do as well.
Right.
I don't even want to look at them anymore. I really don't, because it's like if I see something there, it's like, oh, God, what is it now?
Yeah. All right. Well, everyone in the newsroom is working on the story. And as the day goes on, like I said, as more details become available, you will hear them here, I promise.
And just speaking of bulletins, though, too, so sad about the death of Morley Safer.
Isn't that sad?
From 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Do you know you mentioned his name yesterday?
I remember saying his name at the beginning. I don't remember what we
were talking
about.
We're just going to get Morley Safer to make that...
Yeah.
And we're just going to be doing 60 Minutes. I can't remember what the context was, but you totally said it, and you did the stopwatch.
Yeah.
So that died, too.
the timing on this with him announcing that he's stepping down, and I don't know
did
if details.
He know?
That's what
I was reading some stories that said that that's why CBS did the tribute last weekend.
Yeah,
that's why they made the announcement. They wanted to do the tribute so he could see it.
Poor guy.
But that he had been ill. I don't know the nature of his illness. I've been trying to find something out about that, and I haven't been able to find it. But
84. He was 84.
84 years old. The newsman's newsman.
Yeah,
he was.
As far as I'm concerned. Did you see the tribute? I mean, him reporting like one of the first reporters in Vietnam.
Yeah,
the early days of Vietnam. He was the guy in the field.
Yeah.
With Walter Cronkite reporting back and showing us the atrocities that were going on then.
Yeah,
and then like 46 years on 60 Minutes.
Right. How about that?
That's a lot of clock ticking.
Look at those guys. The pillars of that show, from Mike Wallace to Ed Bradley to Andy Rooney to now Morley Safer, the guys who were
the originals,
Murderers Row, they're kind of gone now.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
Oh my
and
God!
Is it Don Hewitt? Is that the man who was behind the scenes?
The original, I think he was the original producer, if not original. He was the executive producer of that show for the lion's share of years of 60 Minutes, and really crafted the show into its heyday and what it's become, and its its impact. So it's sad. We're losing some of our veterans. That said, this week I spent time with 93-year-old Norman Lear, who was in Chicago at the Music Box Theater. There's a new documentary on his life, and they showed the documentary, and then I did a Q&A with him for like 40 minutes, talking to one of the most legendary producers of all time.
Were you giddy?
I was. I'm still giddy from that.
He's still a very sharp man.
He is so sharp and so witty and funny and thoughtful.
Yeah.
And a big supporter of Donald Trump, I understand.
He did say something. Well, I had noticed, because, I was looking at his documentary and watching a lot of All in the Family and things just to get ready for the interview. And watching Archie Bunker, I noticed there's a lot of Donald Trump and Archie Bunker. The two guys are similar. So I asked him about it during the Q&A, and what he said was, sorry, Donald Trump supporters aren't going to like that, but you insult them almost every day anyway.
Yes,
so,
I know.
He said that Donald Trump is the middle finger on the right hand of America.
That is the greatest quote. Whether you agree with it or not, you got to agree. It's funny.
It's a very clever.
But what would have happened had All in the Family or Archie Bunker's Place still be running now with what's going on with Donald Trump? They'd have to work that into the script, you would imagine, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I asked him in the interview, if these characters were still on now, what would Archie Bunker think about the election going on? What would George Jefferson think about Black Lives Matter? What would Maud think about Hillary Clinton? Would she be for Bernie Sanders? Would she be for Hillary Clinton? Mm.
And which scarf would she be wearing?
Caftan. A long caftan.
Right.
So we're going to play the full interview. It's not this Sunday, but we are going to play that full interview. And I'm considering 93 years old, so sharp and so with it.
Yeah.
And so articulate. And then the next day after Norman Lear, Carol Burnett, who is at the Chicago Theater. She's doing this one-woman show where she comes out, she shows old clips.
Yeah.
All she does is take questions from the audience like she did at the beginning of her show. And it's a fantastically fun, nostalgic, wonderful evening.
She's still got it, doesn't she?
She's still got it. And she's 83. She looks fantastic.
Yeah.
That was Tuesday night. She's going to do it again tonight. She's going to do it again tomorrow night at the Chicago Theater, and tickets are still available. So see some of these legends
while you can.
These are once-in-a-lifetime experiences, I think.
You know, with Carol Burnett, much like Mary Tyler Moore, and there's a handful of others that, even though they'll always be known for their comedic work, when she needed to, she could pull off a drama. There's a movie called Pete and Tilly that she did with Walter Matthau, where she's just great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. She's had some amazing, amazing, amazing dramatic roles. The variety show stands on its own. But she is truly like one of the really great, versatile performers.
Yeah.
She's been through a fair amount of tragedy in her life as well. She lost her daughter,
Carrie,
who had a drug problem. She and Carrie were working on a play together called Hollywood Bound. Mm-hmm. Carrie passed away, but Carol pursued it to be and got it up on stage, premiering at the Goodman Theater. And I was seated where I was seated, and in front of me there were some empty seats. On one of the empty seats, a feather boa.
Mm.
Comes time for showtime, Carol sits in one of the seats, I think right in front of me. And then the feather boa, empty chair with the feather boa, was in honor of her daughter,
who always
wore feather boas.
Oh.
Wasn't she on Fame?
Yeah, for a season.
I loved her. And she looked like a punked out version of Carol Burnett.
Yeah,
she looked very much like her mom, but with like bleached blonde, spiky hair. I really liked her.
That was a cool night. I'll never forget that at the Goodman because, I mean, Carol Burnett's sitting right in front of me. I'm like, please don't let me kick the seat. Please don't let me kick the seat. But like to the right of me is Florence Henderson, and right here is Tim Conway, and all of Carol Burnett's friends came to see the opening night of that production.
How amazing.
It was really cool.
It's because of Carol Burnett, Dean, that at the end of every show, I tug on my ear to let Carol's aunt know that I'm okay.
Her grandmother. Or do you do it for her
aunt? I do it for her
aunt.
Carol used to do it for her grandmother, but I do it for her aunt.
It's nice of you to be a little more inclusive.
Debbie, yeah.
He wants to make the whole family feel good.
Yeah. And that's my goal, Debbie. Is to make everybody in the family feel nice.
How was Tim Conway? Was he moving
to
a little slow walk?
No, he was not doing Mr. Tudball or the dentist or any of the kids. He was just like a normal guy. But I've interviewed him several times. He could not be nicer. One time at the Paramount Theater in Aurora, as a matter of fact, I remember, he and Harvey Korman were doing these shows where they just come up on stage and they show clips and goof around, and it's mostly each one trying to crack the other guy up.
Which was
for the whole
their
time.
Magic,
that was
wasn't
their,
it?
Their magic, and it was so fun. These guys are so great. Harvey has passed away, but Tim is still active and doing roles from time to time. I'm not going to tell any of the stories because I don't want to spoil it for anybody going to see Carol Burnett, but she tells some great behind-the-scenes stories about Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. She tells a fantastic Julie Andrews story that go see the show. I'll tell the stories maybe on Sunday after the show is over.
Okay.
Because I don't want to spoil them, but it's so worth going to see the money. And after the show's over, you walk across the street and you can watch Ron Majors.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
In the window.
Another legend.
Doing his, I was trying to crack him up. I was standing, trying to be one of those guys in front of the window. Hey, Ron, see, look at me.
It'll work.
I'm on Channel 9, look. I wasn't even paying a bit of attention.
He's a professional.
I don't even think they can see out the window.
No, it's all one-sided.
I think it's mirrors. I don't think they can even see. Because I have my pants off, everything. Trying to get his attention.
And it didn't work?
Nothing.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yep.
Dean Richards is here. He'll tell you what movies to see and which to avoid this upcoming weekend. Stick around, Bill and Wendy, WGN. One of my favorite smells in the whole wide world, Dean Richards is sitting right over here.
Because I'm very lilac-like.
Yeah, very lilac-y.
Yep.
You are wearing a purple shirt.
I just realized that.
Lilac
while you're reading that. I enjoy a good lilac.
Oh. Who doesn't? It's impossible.
I love a lilac.
Come on. Dean, there are three big releases.
I hope it loves you back.
I could only ask this of Bill, but wasn't there a Batman villain?
Louis the Lilac.
Yeah.
Played by, do you remember who played him?
Was it Milton Berle?
Milton Berle played Louis the Lilac.
Oh, he had that purple suit?
Yeah.
I totally remember that.
That's it. Very,
you guys
very
are
nice.
Cute. It's like, Kevin, I have two toddlers here
remember,
in the studio.
Remember
with
we have a prize for Dean? Batman?
Yep. three big releases. Neighbors 2. I didn't think we'd ever see Neighbors 2, but there
I'm
it is.
I'm sorry
Neighbors
that we
2.
Saw Neighbors 1.
Yeah, I know.
How many years in the making? I mean, when
Forever.
Was Neighbors out?
Two years ago.
Seth Rogen and Zac Efron, Dave Franco, this one of the hottest comedians now. He's got his own sitcom, Gerard Carmichael on NBC, among others, in a fraternity, wild frat house living next door to the newly married couple, Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, and the hijinks that went on, the quiet, fairly quiet yet stoner married couple,
mm-hmm.
Living in the house, trying to get the frat house to go away because they're noisy and outrageous. So you wouldn't think you'd be able to top that kind of intellectual comedy.
No way.
That kind of cerebral storyline. But by George, they tried. With Neighbors 2, this time, it's a sorority.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my God. I see what they did there.
Uh-oh.
It's a sorority next door this time. Now, fast forward, the couple now have a grown daughter who was a baby in the last movie and a baby in the oven.
Yeah.
They have just sold this house. Then now is 30 days in escrow. So 30 days, anything could go wrong if the new buyers see this wild sorority that's living right next door to them. The whole deal could be off.
It would all be
off. I tell you, it could be off. The deal could be off, I tell you.
No one wants that.
Not even Hochberg.
No.
This is a deal that not even David Hochberg, of all people, could sum up with together.
Right.
Therein lies the alleged comedy. Zac Efron, also in this movie. Where are they now several years later? All of his friends have gone on to really nice professional jobs and relationships, and he's just sort of still wallowing in the same place where he was before. Tries to work with the sorority girls in showing them how they can beat the neighbors next door, but it doesn't work out.
No.
So he joins forces with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne.
Who saw that coming?
The
no one saw that.
Sadly,
coming.
I did.
Oh, you did.
I didn't think the first one was that funny. I think this one really is stretching to find jokes this time. It's pretty much a one joke movie. It's an extremely hard R-rated movie, and that if you like those kind of movies, that may be the singular reason to go.
You
see
know who can't wait to see it?
Who's that?
Kevin, our producer, can't wait to see it.
I actually loved the first one.
You're going to love this one, too, then.
You know what I'm confusing it with? The Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi Neighbors. That's what I thought. I mean, how can you have another movie named the exact same thing?
And now a sequel.
Oh, my God.
To it on top of it.
Dean's List on Neighbors 2.
I'm going to give this one a Dean's List C minus.
That's not good. That's not good, Dean.
For me. Just not my cup of tea. I'm sure people will enjoy it. Similar is the movie that's called The Nice Guys. You've got Russell Crowe. You've got Ryan Gosling. Both of them are sort of bumbling private eyes who team up together to solve the case of a missing client. The movie wants to be a kind of a wacky comedy, and it wants to be at the same time kind of a serious heist movie at the same time. And I'm not sure that the two things go together very well. It's set in the 70s. It's very stylish, you know, very like retro 70s-esque. That's kind of fun to watch.
Sure.
The storyline I found incredibly dull. The chemistry is the chemistry works. These guys work together, but there's not much for them to work with, I don't think. This is also a very R-rated comedy. Maybe this just wasn't my week to, you know, go check out R-rated comedies.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't think that I'm very prudish about stuff like this. I just didn't think either of them were especially funny. That said, for some reason, this Nice Guys movie is getting rave reviews.
Is it really?
Around the country. I don't understand it, but as the great Roy Leonard used to say, that's why Baskin-Robbins makes 31 flavors. There's something for everyone out there.
I guess so.
This just doesn't happen to be my cup of tea. So this one also, for me, Dean's List C-, grumpy old Dean's List C- on this.
Huh.
Oddly, the genre that I normally don't care for that much, because it's not my cup of tea, is the...
What is your cup of tea? You have no cups of tea this weekend.
This weekend, I have no taste for tea.
That's not good, Dean.
But normally, you know, when a children's movie comes out, unless it's a Pixar movie, unless it's something that really has got some layers of adult jokes, something for everyone in it, it doesn't work for me, these children's movies, because they're designed for children,
of course,
not me. But this Angry Birds movie I found so delightful.
Did you really? Yeah.
I really kind of enjoyed it. Never played the game once in my life.
Yeah.
The video game. I know it's tremendous. Maybe one of the most popular video games
in
the world. Never played it. Didn't know one bird from another bird.
Did you know why they were angry?
They're angry because the green frogs are coming and trying to steal their eggs.
I can understand their ire. You'd be mad if
somebody was coming and trying to steal your eggs.
I'd be furious.
Yeah, of course you would. Yeah. You'd,
Bill's had a hysterectomy, though, so he
doesn't have any anymore.
His eggs are useless.
Yes. Why are we laughing at that? That's
sad. Not funny.
That's not funny at all.
It's a serious topic.
Right.
Wendy.
Right. Come on.
I'm just setting you up for this. Because every time I threaten his manhood, he always goes, "That's not what my gynecologist says." I just wanted to hear you say it.
I'm not even going to say it. I'm embarrassed.
Damn.
I'm embarrassed to be in on
There's
this.
There's no need to be embarrassed.
Right.
A lot of men have that same problem.
I know that. Thank
but you.
You
liked Angry Birds.
I was completely entertained by this movie. I thought it was the writing is funny.
Did you find it true to the novel?
Well, had I read, was familiar with the video game,
yeah.
I might actually be able to take that question seriously.
Do you know
because
making...
I think people who know the video game will probably appreciate this in a completely different
imagine.
Way as me walking in having zero knowledge about any of the characters.
Do you know they're making, and I'm not, I know this sounds like I'm kidding and I'm not, they're making a Tetris movie.
Yeah.
Right? That's right.
I'm
There's
going to
be
that.
A Tetris movie.
And I'm going to just zigzag to my seat and try and find the perfect seat. Are they frogs or pigs? I think they're pigs.
I think
that
they're
are...
pigs. I think oh, they're pigs. Did All I right. say frogs?
Yes.
Yeah. No, I was
you were thinking
honestly
Frogger.
Half asleep during the movie to tell. Maybe that's why I enjoyed it. Maybe that's why I enjoyed
sure.
the children's movie.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. The critics fall asleep sometimes.
Right. That happens.
All of them. I promise you. All of them. I'm going to start taking pictures of them so people can see. Dean's List B on this one.
Angry
wow.
Birds gets a B.
Angry
the other
Birds,
two get a C minus.
C minus.
How about that?
That's the way life goes sometimes.
Dean, great to see you. Thank you so much.
Likewise.
Have a great weekend. It's the great Dean Richards.
Soon to be Walk of Famer.
He's got a star right there. It'll be on the Hollywood Walk or the WGN Walk of Fame. Soon the Hollywood Walk of
Fame. But what I do now in my spare time is I stand out there and shoo people away when they get a little too close to
yes.
it.
Yes.
So if you're in the downtown area and you want me to yell at you,
that's your best
come
bet.
Outside because that's really what I do with all my – and Steve, I will be happy to do the same thing with your star since I'm out there. Happy to do that with anyone
Dean
else.
Dean is WGN's Angry Bird.
Yes.
You know, for yes. 2 years, I've had to clean Roy Leonard's plaque, so now that you're right beside him, you can pick that up.
I'm not worthy to
that
clean
works out beautiful.
Star.
Thank you, Dean.
I'm not worthy. You should keep doing it.
A quick break. Then we'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Cam, thank you so much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill Left and it's Wendy Snyder. For our second attempt at a great show today, we're thrilled that you're listening. You can text in or call in at 312-981-7200.
Who are you waving to, Bill?
Throngs of people who came outside to be here for the show's open.
What are you guys doing out there?
Oh, we're just a field trip.
It's a field trip.
Science.
Science.
All right, they're going to swear.
Yep.
I'm sorry,
they
I got
nervous.
They were
just seconds away from a cuss word. Did you sense that, too?
I kind of did.
You know how these kids are today. I'll lull them into a false sense of security by speaking nicely, and then I will swear.
That's what I do. Right. But you get very nervous. I love to talk to people on the street.
Yeah. I've seen it end in disaster more times than in success.
Yeah, but, you know, we got each other. If
right.
you know, disaster strikes,
right.
then, you know.
Plus, you could outswear them. If they swore at you,
you
go,
stop
you guys
it.
Think swear? You think you can swear? Listen to this.
You know what I had for my lunch break?
What?
A big old cigar while I was on a brick wall.
Now, for people who don't understand what that means.
You ate that? That's weird.
No, but, I had it. That was my lunch. I had a little stogie.
But I bet Sigmund Freud enjoyed that analogy a
so
lot.
So did Bill Clinton.
Yeah, he probably did too. Yeah. There is an internet thing, an optical illusion that I saw yesterday and solved within seconds. I showed it to you at the top of the show at 10 o'clock, and it wasn't as easy for you to solve. Did you solve it on your own?
I had a little assistance. I begged Kevin to just tell me.
Yeah.
And he refused, so you gave me little hints.
Right.
I coached her up.
It's on our Facebook page. For people who have not seen this, you're looking at a picture of a brick wall, but if you look at it just a certain way, you'll notice that it's more than just a brick wall. Is that fair? That I haven't given too much away, right?
Yeah, it's a brick wall, but there's another. See, I didn't know if whatever. I'm already bored with it.
All right.
I just know that Kevin coaxed me. I
coached.
Did.
I didn't coax. I
yes,
coached.
You're right.
You should call me Coach Kev. I like that.
Coach Kev. Please call him Coach Kev from now on. But then, didn't you feel like once you knew what the gimmick
then that's
was,
all I could see.
Then you go, how did I not see? How could I have not seen this?
I did say earlier when I was placing guesses,
yeah,
that it was a dinosaur smoking a guitar. Mm-hmm. I mean, God, I swear I did have a cigar for lunch.
I believe you.
I thought it was a dinosaur smoking a cigar. It's not, but. I don't understand once you know how it is, what it is, why people can't see it.
Right.
I really don't.
Mean.
I agree with
it
you.
It shows how tricky your brain is that you could be staring at something. And I don't know how long you put in, But people online were saying, I've been looking at this picture for 25 minutes and I don't see anything. And then once they see it, once somebody explains, well, yeah, it's a brick wall, but it's also this, then you go, oh, wow. Why doesn't my brain understand that?
Well, see, my brain is filled with a lot of useless stuff, and it's very busy thinking about, got to go buy a new car tonight. Oh, you know, where are my blue shoes that I want to wear tomorrow? That's what's cluttered my head.
Right.
So once I was able to just let go of my brain.
Yes.
Because really, you're trying to function. You're looking at it going, this is what my brain says it is. But if you could just relax and let your brain wander,
I
can never have that happen. That's when I saw it. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's
there
so simple.
There it is. Right. So why, and I asked you this earlier, and you made fun of me.
I'm ambidextrous, too, by the way.
I'm ambidextrous. You wish you were ambidextrous. Why do I see those things easily? Why is it so easy for me to
because
see those things?
Because you'd like to toot your own horn?
No, I'm not too, I'm not. I don't know why in a situation like that where people can stare at something for so long and not see it, what am I doing differently that I go, yeah, well, it's obvious. It's this.
Your brain is less cluttered than most people's.
Maybe that's what it
is. And I don't mean that in an intelligence issue. I mean that you don't typically have a lot on your mind. You're here, you're having fun, you're just kind of enjoying life.
That's it. That's it exactly.
You're not worrying about your washing machine eating your laundry. Does that still happen?
Yeah, constantly.
Only when you do the laundry.
I'm down to two shirts and one pair of pants. I got nothing left after that. And I'm suing Speed Queen, by the way. And that's weird because it's not even a Speed Queen.
I know, they've been out of business.
They've been out of business for a long time. I got to get a different lawyer, Wendy. This is ridiculous. He tells me to sue the wrong people.
All right, John was perplexed by the optical illusion on our Facebook page and all over the internet. John, what happened?
I saw that picture and I thought, well, there's a pebble in the brick wall.
I thought it was a smashed mouse.
And then as soon as I read one of the comments, what it was, I instantly saw it.
See, I wouldn't allow my
it really was.
I wouldn't allow myself to get any hints or clues until I couldn't stand it anymore.
Yeah.
And then Kevin, I just wanted to know, is it a different item than a brick wall? Because I thought it was just the way that the brick wall was shaped, which was going to show a formation of something else.
Oh.
But it was something completely different. And
right.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
John, in case people haven't solved it.
As soon as I saw the then I could see it, and I couldn't see it before.
Right, right. That's what that's the frustrating part is, because you say to yourself, why would my brain block this from me until I'm in on it? And then you go, oh, yeah, it's so obvious. That's crazy, isn't it?
Okay, what it is, I think your brain, what it is there's, it doesn't make any sense for that to be sticking out of a brain,
out of a, right, I know what you mean.
Maybe that's why your brain just doesn't accept it. There's no reason for that.
But, again, without giving away too much, you could create, as Wendy pointed out yesterday, sometimes you create a backstory for something, so you could see, potentially you could see why whatever the second thing is, why it could exist, right? You know what I mean?
Well, right, we all think differently. Because really, you know, I have an optical illusion every day when I come in because when I look at you, I see Enrico Iglesias.
When you see me, you see
Enrico. Yeah, I don't say his name right, but I just want to jump on you.
I look like Enrico Iglesias?
I do.
That's weird.
Thank you,
right.
John.
Thanks, John. That's very peculiar. Yeah, all right. So again, one more time, really quick. If you don't know the picture we're referring to, it was all over the internet yesterday.
There's another hint.
Go to our Facebook page, Bill F. and Wendy Snyder, and you'll see a picture of a brick wall, but wait, there's more. There's something else in that picture. You just have to train your mind to see it, and that's all I can say.
Jump, brain, jump.
Jump, brain.
Go to sleep now.
Yeah.
Okay, till 3 o'clock.
All right, we also have to answer the question. There's a restaurant in Milwaukee that's doing things a little bit differently. Some people in Milwaukee are applauding it. Others are furious. We'll explain that and a whole lot more. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder.
I want some pasta.
This song makes you want pasta? Does this make you want pasta?
No, not when the vocals kicked in.
All right.
I'll take a burrito, please.
Then it changed your taste buds just a little bit, didn't it? I've often told you that if you're looking for frozen custard, where you want to go is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. They have the most amazing frozen custard, not just in one place. The best is Cops.
Are you being serious?
That's the best. Yes.
How is it any better than Andy's in Countryside or various locations?
With all due respect to the good people at Andy's, blows them out of the water.
I don't believe
he drives to Milwaukee to have a Cops.
I do.
And then drives home.
And yep. You wonder why he can figure out what's in an optical illusion. There is nothing rattling around in his brain in the way of responsibility. Just, hey, je ne sais quoi, let's go to Wisconsin for...
I don't speak French. Why would my brain speak French?
Because your brain's really smart.
My brain's way smarter than I am. I'll give you that. I love frozen custard as a food, but it's the best in Wisconsin and it's the best at Cops. And you can
it's
you
because
could
of
never
the milk.
Convince me.
They have Wisconsin cheese is the best
it's got
cheese
more
too.
Fat in it for it to be considered custard as opposed to ice cream. The fat content has to be a lot higher, so that's part
and
of it.
And eggs.
But also, here's what they do like at Cops. If you get a flavor of frozen custard, and go to cops.com because they'll show you. They give you like a 30-day forecast of what their flavors are.
A forecast?
Yeah. They change their flavors every day. You always get chocolate. You always get vanilla. But then every day there's two additional flavors. And it's not like if you go to one of the custard chains that they have here in Chicago, it's always going to be like a chocolate or a vanilla-based custard with a little bit of flavoring in there. But they actually make the custard pomegranate or you name the flavor, that's what the custard is. And
they grow their own pomegranates.
They grow their own pomegranates, Wendy.
Do you know what makes it frozen custard as opposed to frozen ice cream?
The fat content.
Nope. Egg yolk.
Is it egg yolk? Is that what it is?
You know you're eating egg yolk.
I know. I'm all right with that.
Okay.
It's for good cause. It's for flavor.
You're just a finicky eater. You make Morris look like, you know, Morris the cat would eat anything. And Mikey, too.
Right. And people from this generation probably too, not just people from 35 years ago.
Oh, come
but,
on, everybody knows Mikey.
All right. Well, the reason I bring this up is in Milwaukee, you have Cops frozen custard, but there are other frozen custard places as well. And one of them is a place called Leon's frozen custard, and they're pretty famous too. Leon people know Leon's, and it's good. It's not as good as Cops, but it's good. Well, Leon's has a new policy in place for their restaurants. For their Leon's frozen custard restaurants, that's making some Milwaukee customers thrilled and other Milwaukee customers very, very upset. They have an English only policy. When you're in
Hello,
their restaurants.
That?
Not like that. No, not like that. That would be bad. This could also be bad. When you're in Leon's, Wendy, you must speak English. No other language is allowed.
Well, they won't be able to understand you.
I guess Ron Schneider, the owner of Leon's, I always thought the owner would be named Leon.
One would think.
I would think. Says there's nothing wrong with his policy. A policy that says you must speak English when you're in our restaurants. It does not appear to be hurting his business, it says here on their website. Well, on their website, of course, it's going to say that. No, it's never been better. Business is booming. Leon's is located near 27th and Oklahoma on Milwaukee's south side. I've been there. I like it. Leon's frozen custard is a Milwaukee institution, but the custard isn't good enough for everyone to overlook this controversial policy. Most people who live in that area are Latino, says Jorge Mea. I don't think I'm going to be back there anytime soon.
May I have a scoop? See, but you have to... there are some businesses that will make a big deal out of this for stupid reasons. But if you can't explain what you want, you should be able to point to it. You know?
Right.
You don't have to speak English. Just point to the flavor you want.
Yeah, but I think the point they're trying to make is, and it gets into this later in their story, is...
And I don't like it.
This is America.
Yeah, I know.
You got to speak American.
Trump lovers.
I don't know. It doesn't say here that Trump has anything to do with this. But we know he does. This all started on Tuesday, May the 17th, when Joey Sanchez overheard one of Leon's employees interacting with a Spanish-speaking customer. She whispered to him in Spanish, "I'm not allowed to speak Spanish to you," Sanchez said. Sanchez was next in line. He also placed his order in Spanish. And you know what, Wendy? When I'm there at Leon's, I also place my order in Spanish. That's something I've done for years. And my vocabulary is very limited, so usually I order a library book when I'm in there. I don't speak a whole lot of Spanish.
What is it?
So it's something with a biblioteca. I don't know what it is.
Because bibliotheque is French, so.
Oh, it is?
Biblioteca.
I don't know what it is.
Bisteca.
Yeah, I've ordered that too. beef
Did you get steak ice cream?
Yeah, I get steak flavored ice cream.
I bet that's good.
You know what? It takes some getting used to, but it's not bad. It's very filling. The employee gave him the same response. I'm trying to understand and find out why. I need to hear it from him and to hear why he has this policy, said Sanchez, an customer. Hey, come on. This is America. This is the owner now speaking, Ron Schneider. This is America. We've spoken English for a long, long time.
Yeah, I know.
But all right. So let's personalize this a little bit. You own a restaurant. It's your place. You can do whatever you want. Can you enact a policy like that that says within the confines of my restaurant, everybody involved must speak English or I don't want them working for me. I don't want them as a customer. Can you do that? Is that still a thing you can do?
To me, it sounds like discrimination, but I guess if you own the restaurant, you can do whatever you want.
You.
But
yeah.
Here's the thing. Don't let anybody know what you're doing. Just do it quietly.
Well, he said the owner says he's had this for a decade, that for 10 years he's had this and it's never been an issue till now. But now people are making an issue out of it.
I would like to know what he would do if somebody came in speaking Spanish to say, I would like a turtle sundae.
Yeah.
What's turtle?
El Tortello.
Okay, yes.
Yeah.
So if he said, you know, what's sundae in Spanish?
It's just sundae.
Domingo.
Domingo. El Tortello Domingo.
Yeah, all right. If somebody said that.
Grande. A big one. I want a big turtle sundae.
I know
sundae.
What you're saying.
Andale, fast. I want it fast.
You know five words, and you just incorporated all of them into one sentence.
It was a Mexican snap or Hispanic snap. That was very good.
Did you enjoy that, Steve? Thanks.
Yeah. All right. So if somebody comes in there and says that, I'll have a large turtle sundae.
Say por favor.
Please.
Please.
I want to know what this guy would say to him.
Out. You out.
How do you say out in Spanish? Vamos. Vámonos.
Right. El puerto. The door.
I thought that was pig.
Oh, the pig.
Puerco.
No.
I don't know. I took French.
I don't think that's it.
But it's terrible.
I don't think I like this.
Dave, what do you got for us?
Well, first of all, this isn't the first place to do this. There was remember the Philadelphia Philly steak place that the owner did the same, had an English only policy.
Here in town? Was that here?
What?
Was that in Chicago?
No, it's in. I believe it was in Philadelphia.
Oh,
right, and
yeah,
they had
the
a
famous,
sign.
One of the famous ones.
Didn't they have a sign on the door that explained it?
Really? Well, I never
and
heard
that. That. And you know, the airlines, airline pilots are required to speak English.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, but that's for
that
their job. I mean, that's
it's discriminatory. Just I can't
or is
say
it to
the
facilitate
word.
Facilitate that you have a common language, and you know, but the and
it's common
like
to
say,
us.
Again?
The common language is common to us,
right.
But not to other people.
To have a standardized language among, like I say, if you're going to have pilots from, you know, like I say, with the airline pilot example, and then, like I say, it's for the store to have different language, you know.
Well, but, you know, you want your pilots to all be able to understand one basic language,
sure.
Whether it's German
for
or French.
For safety reasons.
Now, so, but the guy cutting your custard doesn't really need to speak English for secure safety reasons.
Right.
But you know, make the you know to facilitate you know the movement in line. You know, customer.
I don't think the lines as long as the TSA lines. I think you get through the custard line a little quicker. And again, you can point to what you want.
You could, sure.
But, you know, like I say, you know, when you start paying his bills, you can dictate. You can tell him what you want him to do. But you know, I mean, it's.
But would you? Yeah. Would you? Let's say there's
win.
A business. Let's say you're walking down whatever street you live in. You're walking down the main street of that city, and there's a sign on the window that says, we only speak inside this store. We only speak English. Customers must speak English. Every employee must speak English. Would you be more inclined or less inclined to shop there?
Like I say, it depends on what they have, but it wouldn't draw me away from someone, you know, from that particular. It wouldn't be a negative.
No.
That,
all right.
That
all
an right. English only, I mean, you know, like I say, I barely speak of the English, you know. Bad joke.
Right.
I mean,
thank you, Dave.
Dave, thanks for calling. There are people this wouldn't bother.
I know, but it seems
archaic,
doesn't it?
Yep,
it does. It
absolutely.
Does.
You know what? I think we have to take a break and
all
go to news.
Let's take a break. If you want to hang on. We'll get to some more calls after the news. 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Is Nuno Bettencourt.
Well, Nuno Bettencourt is the guitar player for that band, Extreme.
I know. Where is he now? I don't mean right this second.
Shopping. He's getting some...
hair care products?
Yeah, he's getting some hair care products.
And he wants to keep singing.
Yeah, he can't stop that guy from singing. The reason for that song, the word song, is because the words you use at Leon's Frozen Custard must be chosen very, very carefully.
Words can hurt, Bill.
Words can hurt, Wendy. That's the point we're trying to make. When you're there at Leon's Frozen Custard in Milwaukee, you must speak English. They will not allow you to speak any other language because this is America, and if you're going to go there and going to eat frozen custard, you must speak English. That's it. No negotiations.
Can I just say two words to you?
Yeah.
Before we take this caller?
Yeah.
Strap in.
All right.
Hi, Mary.
Hello. I just got in the car and started listening to your Leon's discussion in my birth town. And if Americans can't run their business the way they want to, what's going on? The political correctness, I think it's gone crazy. All of our ancestors had to learn English to be in this country. What's wrong with his policy? That's his business.
It is his business, that's for sure.
Have you ever traveled out of the country? Have you ever been in any other country but the U.S.?
Mexico for about 4 hours.
All right. Let's say you were there for longer.
Let you in if you couldn't speak Spanish.
No. Let's say you wanted to go to a restaurant or a shop, whatever, and they had a sign that said that you must speak Spanish only. No other language was allowed. Wouldn't you feel kind of discluded from whatever went on in that shop?
I'd get my Rick Steves Spanish dictionary out.
But there would be places, like one of my dreams is to go to Japan. I want so badly to go to Japan. What if I went to
Konnichiwa.
Japan, and Wendy speaks fluent Japanese, I do not, but what if I went to Japan and every store I went to said, you got to speak Japanese in the store, we won't allow you to come in, that'd be terrible, wouldn't it?
Well, I don't know, but if we're in America, I think you need to speak English, and if that's your business that you're running your way, then... It would. What are we going to say? No shoes, no service, no shirt and all that, and everybody's going to complain about that? This is crazy. He's got to run his business his way. That's the story.
All right. Okay.
Okay. Well,
thank you for chiming in. We appreciate it. We really do, Mary.
But people do, businesses do have that no shoes, no shirt, no service.
But it's their decision to put that sign up. Some people say, go ahead, take your top off. I'll still give you some custard.
That might be women good only. For business. But that, the no shoes, no shirt rule is for health reasons. You can't claim that an English-speaking policy is for health reasons.
No, you can't. And if someone tries to, I will slap you.
Oh, no.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi.
What are your thoughts, Sharon?
Well, the perspective I have comes from having had Leon's as my Laverne and Shirley kind of hangout when I was in high school in the early 60s. So
did you
I
say Schlemiel Schlemazel?
Well, I didn't because we were Leon's. We were. At any rate, I live in the northwest suburbs of Chicago now, but still go back to Milwaukee about once a week to take care of elderly parents.
Yeah.
One of whom, my mother, insists upon me still getting her pint of butter pecan ice cream at Leon's. So I do go there, and as an informational point, Leon's is not an eat-in restaurant. It is a drive-up. Like Laverne and Shirley, you know, you drive up and you get your ice cream, you go to the window.
Yeah.
So you do not enter the restaurant.
But aren't there locations, I'm trying to remember, there's locations there where they have sit-down service too, isn't there, for Leon's?
Well, I wouldn't know about that. 27th in Oklahoma on the south side of Milwaukee is the...
That's their flagship.
Original.
Yeah.
And perhaps they have others. They are a cash-only location there so that people are still lined up. I don't care if I go there at 10, mm-hmm. at 11, at 3:30. People are lined up at the window to buy Leon's custard.
Sure, it's that good.
So perhaps the owner feels he has the business he needs to maintain his business. I don't really have a comment on his ruling, but just some background information on the viability of the business as it stands right now.
All it's
right.
His business, and it's his business, basically. It is.
That's what he's saying.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All
thank
right.
you, Sharon.
All right. Thanks.
Take
Bye.
Care.
Schlemiel. Schlemazel.
Now, those words are not English words.
He wouldn't serve you.
You can't say those in there. Imagine getting kicked out of an eatery for saying schlemazel. Why did you get kicked out? I said schlamozzle.
That's a bad word.
I don't know what I was thinking, but I said it. Now I'm out in the cold.
Say you, like, all right, say I move to France.
Yeah.
I took French in high school. I'm not fluent in it. It would take me a while to learn it.
Right.
And I would want to learn the native language if I was going to stay there forever, but it's not like you learn it overnight.
Right.
So I'm sure my French would be not that good for a while.
Exactly.
I couldn't get custard because I can't speak French.
Sad but true. You could not. That's the price you pay.
Doesn't seem fair.
When we were in Costa Rica, almost everybody spoke Spanish. And as I pointed out a little while ago, I speak extremely necessary only Spanish.
If you have to go to the bathroom or to the library, that's really
then
all.
Then I'm your friend. Anything you need anything else? I can't help you.
Really, what more do you need in life?
I guess. But I mean, I would have spent a week without any food or without clothing or shelter because I can't speak. If that rule was in place everywhere that you can only speak the language of the country you're in, that wouldn't play out.
No.
That wouldn't be good. But on the flip side of that, I understand if you have saved your money and built your own business, I understand the principle of you should be able to make your own rules within that business. I just think it discriminates, you know, from anybody who lives in the area and wants to sample the food. They can't go in and speak Spanish.
Yeah, see, I don't like that.
That's where it gets crazy.
Why can't you have one Spanish employee that could understand?
Right.
And then there's no problem.
Right.
Tortuga Domingo.
What you said.
Is that a turtle sundae?
I think that is a turtle sundae. Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm going to go into Andy's and ask for that and see if they'll serve me.
Say it in different languages. Just go in with a card with 11 different languages and see what happens. That weird lady's here with the speech card again.
Hey, Bodie.
Hey.
How are you?
How are you guys doing?
Good.
I'm excellent. Hey, my comment was, and I've traveled around, you know, you have major spoken languages in the entire world, like English, Spanish, German, and French. And in most places, like if you were to go to Japan, you may not have to order in Japanese because most people speak Japanese. But here in America,
yeah,
you know, you speak English. That's the major spoken language. But you may be able to understand some Spanish, like Wendy.
Yeah.
Yeah, or, no, that's you know, Bill.
You know, or something like that. So I think it's just, you know, if you can get some certain words out, and maybe that's his point, because I do live in Wisconsin, and we have, you know, and no offense to him, but, you know, you have a large Asian population, like the Hmong population.
Yeah.
And I worked in retail, that you cannot communicate with them whatsoever. So especially if it's just a drive-thru, you're holding up his business, basically, because you can't communicate unless you can at least speak, you know, some words in English.
Sure. I get that.
Can I tell you what
my comment?
Well, I think I have a solution to this problem. I think Leon should have like a big chart outside his restaurant or custard stand.
Yeah.
And have the pronunciations for custard in various languages, because then he's kind of making his point.
Right.
But then he is not discriminating. He's just here. All you got to do is say it this way. You can even put it phonetically.
How many languages are you going to stop it at?
Yeah, you'd have to have countless languages.
Spanish, French, German, Swedish, Swiss.
Oh, it goes on and on.
Or the melting pot, not the melting custard.
Exactly.
Thanks, Bodie.
I wonder if something didn't happen. Although, I guess this policy has been in place for, it says in the story, for a decade. But at some point, something must have happened where he just went, that's it. From now on, if you don't speak English in my restaurant, I'm not serving you.
We're going to find out. I think we have some listeners who knows they might know a little bit more.
Right.
Let's take a quick break and come back. It's Bill Left, Wendy Snyder, 720 WGN. And Leon is getting larger. What's that from?
From Airplane. That's, that's Johnny Henshaw on Airplane.
That's right. Leon's Frozen Custard. It's in Milwaukee, Bill?
Yeah, it's in Milwaukee.
He has a policy. Not Leon, but the guy who runs Leon. That's
Ron Schneider.
He is saying you have to speak English in order to get served in my establishment. David, you've been to Leon's. You're a fan?
Yeah, it's a great custard, one of many around Milwaukee, but it's been around forever. And he's like the originator in the city of Milwaukee of the frozen custard. So he's top dog.
It opened in 1942, by the way. That's how long they've been serving up custard there, 1942.
Right. And I don't think he's trying to be discriminatory. I think he's trying to keep his business streamlined and able to operate like it needs to, especially in summer when it's hot and everybody is lined up and there they are 30, 40, 50 people long in a line trying to get their custard or burgers or whatever they want from him. And when you've got multiple languages, I'm sure it probably gets to be confusing and it can get to be a problem. So he probably had to make that rule. But
so what does he do if you're the 30th in line and you're Hispanic and you don't know English, you're going to wait in that line for an hour and get up there and not be served?
No, I completely understand, Wendy, what you're saying. I can agree with you. I was in France, like you talked about with your example, years ago, and I went into a gas station trying to find a map for the village that we were in because we needed to find our hotel. And I stood there for probably 20 minutes, and the woman behind the counter didn't speak a word of English, or she didn't want to speak a word of English. And I tried everything to
describe
what I needed.
Did you draw
pictures? I was doing everything, and it was getting so frustrating. Finally, a customer walked in that spoke a little English, and they could interpret for me. So I know what it could be like. It was frustrating as could be.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, what is the right answer? It's tough. It's really tough.
And if it's your business, you get to make the rules, I guess.
Yeah.
But how about this? David, it says in the story that he has workers there who speaks Spanish. Spanish speaking workers,
but he won't let them speak Spanish.
He doesn't want that to happen. Yeah,
I know.
I know it's for speed reasons, but what would that hurt if a guy comes in and they both speak Spanish? You get the job done just as quickly, right?
I agree. I think so too. It makes perfect sense to me the way you describe it. But I don't know. We're not in his operation. We don't have to be there when it's going crazy on a Friday night and they're trying to crank out food like it's going out of style.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't comment to that. It's tough. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you, David, for calling. We appreciate it. Tony, you had something to add about this.
Yeah, we were there yesterday. It's not too far from Miller Park. You know, we're up there for baseball to see the Cubs. Everybody that works in the place is Hispanic, and we were in a small line of customers, and probably 80% of the customers are Hispanic. The whole neighborhood is.
Yeah.
And, you know, this guy is being foolish. I mean, the technique of a worker at a restaurant speaking Spanish to an obviously Hispanic customer works great at Portillo's. We see it all the time.
Right. I've seen it, too.
I've seen it everywhere I go. You know, I will come in and order something from a Hispanic clerk or teller and everything's fine, and then there'll be a Hispanic person behind me and they just speak Spanish and it didn't take any longer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And my Spanish is pretty decent, you know, for a regular old American guy, because we vacationed in Mexico and Latin America a bunch of times. And, you know, this guy is I don't know, I think he's missing a big point here, because the people that work for him are great. They're very gracious. The service is fast when you consider how crowded it can be.
Yeah.
And it's a perfect stop to get a snack before you go to the ballpark, which, by the way, a hot dog there is $1.75, and
wow.
We've seen that.
Wow.
You've traveled back in time, my friend. Yeah. All right, Tone, we got to go. Thank you for calling.
To everybody, they do not offer onions for their hot dogs.
No onions. That's crazy.
What if you ask in Spanish?
They do offer ketchup, so Chicago people beware.
Thanks, Tony. And real quickly, John has a comment here. You have a great question.
Well, my question is, why couldn't you just... It says that you can't speak a different language. So what if you brought your own interpreter along to translate for yourself? I mean, it says that you can't communicate in any other language, right?
Right. Just carry an interpreter. It's easy.
I mean, I own a restaurant, and I've had a person who came in who was deaf, and I had a server who could do sign language.
Yeah.
It worked out terrific.
Okay, so what
situation, if you have a Mexican person who can speak, you know, Spanish to the person?
All right, you just brought something up to me, because, and now the wheels are turning. Do you see the smoke?
I can see them turning.
So what if somebody who has to use sign language comes in?
Out.
That's something else.
I think in a case like that, they can't. It would be illegal to discriminate against the customer.
Yeah, you couldn't legally do that.
Yeah, you couldn't do that. But
isn't it illegal to discriminate against someone else?
Of a different language? No.
What country am I living in?
What country is this?
What year is this? John, thank you for calling.
Absolutely.
if I'm another frozen custard place in Milwaukee, if I'm Carl Kopp or one of the other owners of a frozen custard place,
endorsed by Bill Love,
I've got a huge billboard outside that says, no matter what language you speak, come on in and have the greatest custard of your life. You're welcome.
Or just bienvenido.
Bienvenido.
Here, you know what you welcome. Do? You just put a billboard up that said custard is the universal language. Oh. And then an arrow pointing to your shot.
Sparkling.
Final call on this. Sarah, you get the last word. What's going on?
Well, I was going to say, I kind of appreciate it when any business tells me what group they're discriminating against, whether it's the bathroom
right.
or because of language, because now I know I don't have to go to that
That's
business.
Perfect. That's beautiful.
Take it off your list. Good answer there.
There you go.
Thanks, Sarah.
All right, a quick break. Steve has the news, and then more show ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
On a gorgeous day like today, you see the sunshine finally. It is nice to look out of the Allstate Showcase studio and see the hustling and bustling of Michigan Avenue. And we have no one to thank but Allstate. And Joe Schneider is here. And nice to see you again.
Hi, guys. Good to be here.
How's everything, Joe? Everything's good?
Everything is wonderful, especially Excellent. With this weather. Amazing.
Isn't this perfect?
Isn't it finally.
Yeah.
I know. It's still a little cold, though. It'd be nice to wear shorts without having a winter coat on with mm-hmm. it.
That's true.
But summer is coming. Memorial Day is next weekend already. And you have been with Allstate how long?
About 12 years. Yep.
It's a long time.
It
and
is.
People are going to be hitting the roads for family vacations.
Well, even more so with these TSA lines, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
I know.
You know, Steve Cochran put it best when he said, okay, if you have to, like, say you're going to St. Louis, that's a 6.5 hour drive, maybe 7 hours. But if you're going to spend all your time waiting in that line, why not just drive?
Take the ride. Why not?
Get some good tunes on. And
so Wendy and I want to buy TSA line insurance, and that's something that's new, right? You guys haven't provided
Talk
that
to somebody
long.
Else.
All right. So, but a lot of people are going to be hitting the roads because of the TSA lines. I took my first family trip last summer. We drove to Nashville, and I didn't know if we were all going to come back alive because this was our first time we went. Two teenage boys. I figured out the best thing to do is rent a minivan with captain's chairs so the boys can't touch each other. That to me was very smart. We're doing it again this year. But is there something we need to know as people are hitting the roads to travel for the holiday weekend and summer vacations?
Yeah. Well, you know, Allstate came out with a really slick app called the Good Hands Rescue app. Obviously, I'm biased, but this thing is really awesome. It's free, which is great, but it also gives you peace of mind. You don't have to be an Allstate customer. You log into the app. It's GPS based. So if your car breaks down, let's say you have a dead battery, a flat tire, or you need a tow, the app will actually track you and you can select the service that you need, click a button, and then they will send a provider out to you.
Oh, nice.
Now the service itself isn't free, but the app
right.
is. The service, I think it's a tow is like $99 for the first 5 miles. Battery jumps and flat tires are about $69. But it's really nice to have that peace of mind at your fingertips.
Which you will pay anything for.
Absolutely.
I'm not kidding. If someone can zero in on where you have broken down, especially if you're on a country road
exactly.
with John Denver, it would be really nice. You'd pay whatever to get some help.
Yeah, and you can also get the status of the provider coming as well wow. because it's a two-way kind of GPS thing. So.
I just saw a thing. John Oliver has a show on HBO. I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's on Sunday nights. Last week tonight, and they just did a thing about how inaccurate 911 can be in similar situations. But he said there's plenty of other providers, including stuff like Facebook, where they can pinpoint you to the smallest detail. That's valuable in a situation where you're pulled over on the road. You want them to find you and quick.
It's crazy. I used it here just to see if it would pick up. It picked up exactly the location. And that's kind of difficult sometimes in Chicago because
yeah.
you've got all the buildings and everything, so
right.
it's really slick.
All right, so again, to get this, Joe, and you don't have to be...
Why wouldn't you be,
a customer.
Though?
Yeah, you should be a customer
yeah, well,
anyway.
Obviously.
Right. How do they pick this up? Where's the app available?
So you just go to the App Store, whether it's the Android Market or the iPhone App Store, and you search for Good Hands Rescue, and it's really easy.
Good. What other precautions should people know about, especially if they're taking longer car trips in the summer?
Yeah, well...
Don't bring your teenage boys.
Right. Leave them at home.
Yeah.
Where nothing could possibly go wrong.
All right.
Yeah, by themselves.
They'll be fine.
All right, call me later.
Just give them some Smart Pop and some Hi-C. They'll be fine.
Too far. Well, obviously, I mean, if you do have a breakdown, there's certain tips. If you can, get out of traffic, shoulders, exit ramps, medians. Those are the safest spots. Stay in your vehicle until help comes. Lock your doors if you don't know the neighborhood that you're in. If you can't get your car off the road, don't stay in it. Put the hood up, put the flashers on, and then when you can, get to a safe area.
Yeah.
And then wait for help. Also, you know, pay attention to your surroundings. You know your location. Look for highway signs, restaurants, mile markers, so that you can kind of know where you are at all times.
I get kind of scared going to Peoria, first of all, because it's Peoria. Second of all, no, I'm kidding. My brother lives there, but we take a roundabout way where we get off of I-80, and it's the country roads. And then, like, coming home, I don't know, I think of, like, Twilight Zone episodes, and I get kind of scared when you think about how dark it is, no one's out there. So this app would definitely give you peace of mind.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, it's really slick. A couple other things that we do recommend if you are going on a road trip. Make sure your car's road ready. If you're going on a long trip like Nashville or something like that, take it in a mechanic. Just have them look at your air pressure. You know, make sure your tires are okay. Air filters.
Get an oil change.
Oil change. Windshield wipers. Windshield wiper fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Just make sure your car's ready to hit the road.
Joe Schneider is an Allstate agent and has been for 12 years, you said?
Yep.
And where is your office located?
I have one on 521 West North Avenue in Old Town and another in Lincoln Park at 674 West Diversity.
Two offices, Joe.
I do, yes.
Life is good.
Life is hard.
You know, there was, I really apologize for not knowing the chef's name that was killed in that accident that happened on the Eisenhower. It was a chain reaction thing. Again, this crazy weather we've been having, it wasn't winter anymore, and there was some black ice on the pavement. And Bill, you and I were talking about this off the air. It's like if you get in an accident, common sense says get out and exchange information, and that's how he got killed.
Right.
Although, I guess in ice, it's a totally different thing. So you mentioned stay in your car for the most part, but if it's, when did you say to get out? That's what I'm confused about.
If you can't get the car off the
roadway.
Yeah, exactly. Obviously, you don't want to stay in the car because you could get rear-ended by an 18-wheeler or a car or whatever, but...
And I want to stress the flashers, the emergency lights, because I was in a situation on Lakeshore Drive a couple of weeks ago where somebody had some sort of an accident and was pulled over but didn't have those lights on, and you come around a bend and don't even see the car. That's really dangerous.
Yeah, and I also think putting the hood up is key because, you know, everybody, unfortunately, a lot of people are texting and driving these days, and it drives me insane. But, you know, they'll see that hood more than they'll see the lights, you know.
From either direction, you know, from behind it or in front of it.
Are there any statistics that show if accidents, my guess is accidents have risen over the last 10 years because of people texting and driving. Are there stats like that anywhere? I'm sure there are stats.
Yeah. I do know that it's a very big problem.
Right.
It's an epidemic. I mean, you just driving down the interstate, you can see probably 6, 7, 8 cars out
constantly.
Of 10, 12 are texting and driving.
It's
terrifying.
Yeah. Although I'm noticing it's people around our age group because the kids have really been scared straight, basically, to say, look what can happen when you take your eyes away from the road for 1 second.
Yeah.
So I feel like people in their 50s are more to blame because they grew up with their iPhones. We didn't.
Yep.
We still think it's pretty cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've also thought about this. Tell me if this is even legal. I don't know. I've seen trucks pulled over and they'll put orange cones by the trucks as if to tell drivers, stay out of this lane. There's trouble ahead. My truck is pulled over. You could do that in a car, couldn't you? Could you?
Yeah, I don't know about blocking the lane off, but I have seen it before. If somebody's off to the side, if you have an emergency kit in your car, you can take that little orange thing and put it like 20 feet away
from
the car
to
warn people.
Coming.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Don't do what I did. Bill, when we worked together, we did mornings at Q101, and on the way to work in the morning, in the wee hours, it was still dark. Mm-hmm. Do you remember when I hit the deer?
Oh, yeah, I do.
I hit a deer getting on to the Stevenson from First Avenue, and I had a Ford Probe at the time, and it was really a low front of the car. You hear horror stories of the deer like coming up on the hood and cracking your windshield. It didn't do that, but it just appeared out of nowhere. I hit it, and it hit the ground, and I felt sorry for it because it didn't die. So dumb me, and again, this is what not to do, I actually pulled my car out a little into the traffic so I would block cars hitting this deer because I thought this is going to be an accident just waiting to happen if the deer's on the roadway. So I risked my life for this poor deer that wouldn't die. And I called 911 and said, please come and do something with it because I didn't want to leave it there. So don't use your car to block a lane.
Probably not a good idea.
I know.
I'm not judging.
Wendy also exchanged numbers with the deer, which I think is
and he never called me.
That's a waste of time, Joe. Let's be honest.
I agree.
Dumb buck.
Right. Right. Dumb buck. Joe, thank you very much. If people want to know more about any of the things we covered today, what's the best way to reach you?
You can call me 312-787-0221 or email is joeschneider@allstate.com.
Two offices, Joe.
Two offices.
Very impressive. It's Joe Schneider, everybody. We'll take a quick break
so
and then
much.
More show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Just can't get enough of you, Bill F.
That's nice of you to say, Wendy. Earlier, Dean Richards was here. Do you remember when we had Dean Richards here? And we were talking about all the movies that were coming out. And I didn't have time to tell him this, but I want to share this with you and all the listeners because I find this disturbing.
Uh-oh.
It looks like Daniel Craig, that's James Bond,
right?
You know, like he may be done. Like he may not be James Bond anymore.
Didn't we think that was happening?
Yeah, there were reports right after the last James Bond movie came out that that would probably be the last one. But then it came out and it was a hit and all parties involved said, we're going to do our best to get him back to do at least one and possibly two or three more James Bond movies. But now there's reports coming out of England saying it's become apparent that Daniel Craig is reportedly, and I quote here, it's just one word, but a quote, done with James Bond.
It's an effective word.
Done. No more Daniel Craig as James Bond. And the guy they say is odds on favorite to replace him. Now, this was a name that came up several times, and I like this guy a lot, but I'm not positive he's James Bond, is Tom Hiddleston. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, but where do I know him from?
Probably you'd know him best as Loki in the Thor movies. He's
no,
Thor's.
I wouldn't know him as that.
I've never
heard of Loki or the Thor movies.
None of those? None of those? How about this? There's a show that was on AMC called The Night Manager.
Nope.
That's been on. You don't know that?
Am I alone here, Steve, or are you with
not,
me?
No. I have to say this about him. He's not incredibly well known. He's a little more obscure.
What's his name?
I just talked to his parents, and they hadn't heard of him. I just got off the phone with Mr. and Mrs. Hiddleston.
Hiddleston?
Hiddleston. Tom Hiddleston.
I went to school with a Todd Huddleston.
His name is not on here at all, Steve, as a possible replacement to James Bond. Now, there have been a bunch of names that keep coming up. Tom Hardy is a guy you may have heard of.
I love him.
Tom Hardy's a great actor.
He is really good.
He is still in the running. Damian Lewis, he's from the show Homeland.
No.
You don't like Damian Lewis?
I don't know who he is, Steve. I think Damian likes Damian.
He is not. He's still in the running. And then Idris Elba, and that one's controversial because he would
black.
Be the first African-American James Bond. All those guys are still being considered.
Did you like Daniel Craig as James Bond?
You know what? I love James Bond movies. When they named him as the next James Bond, I was up in arms and I said, this is not a good... Wendy, you know me. Have you ever seen me to be up in arms?
Never.
He had to drive to Milwaukee for a cop. He was so upset.
That was the funniest thing I ever heard.
I'm just painting a picture of my mental state when they named him
as
James Bond.
Oh, no. I will not have this.
NEM.
You are funny. God,
I was that taken aback by the fact that they would have Daniel Craig as James Bond. Because I'm trying to think of the guy who I want. Oh, Clive Owen. I said, there's your James Bond.
He would have been good.
Show's over. Clive Owen will be James Bond. And they said, no, we've already named Daniel Craig.
Did you end up liking him?
I ended up loving him. Because he's got that wry smile that you never see.
Who's feeding you prompts today? I was up in the car.
The wry smile you never see.
He just refuses. Even in the scenes where Dr. No is tickling him, he does not smile.
He
takes his James Bond very seriously. Remember when Roger Moore was James Bond, it was like a comedy. It wasn't
That was a little over the top, sort of.
It was.
Sean Connery was great, but he found time to smile.
Right. All the James Bonds before this one would smile every once in a while. But Daniel Craig says, I'm not smiling. James Bond is not having a good time. So I don't know if Tom Hiddleston is your best bet. But now in England, according to sources in Britain, that could be your next James Bond, Tom Hiddleston.
Does he have a wry smile or wheat?
Oh, boy. Somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say flaxen.
A flaxen smile.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've got one app. It's the Thesaurus app.
Can I tell you, there was a list about a year ago of the guys who could be the next James Bond.
Yeah, and we talked about it.
We did. We discussed it on the show. And one name that came up that I thought was really intriguing was John Hamm. Now, we know him best from Mad Men.
He could do it totally.
But wouldn't you feel like if you were watching a James Bond movie and James Bond wasn't British, wouldn't you go, oh, that's weird. James Bond's not British. He's American. I guess he could do the accent.
Yeah, I think he would do the accent.
Come on, he would have to do the accent.
There are so many English actors, British actors that, like on The Walking Dead, I keep forgetting.
Half that cast is British.
And I forget that. So why couldn't John Hamm do an English Hamm?
One of the middle Bonds was Irish.
George Lazenby? Was he Irish?
No, the guy...
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan.
Pierce Brosnan was Irish.
He was great as James Bond. I liked him.
I don't know if he was great. Was he great?
I think they were all pretty good. I think I've seen everyone but the most recent two.
What about Timothy Daly? Did you like his version of James Bond? He was all right.
Daly or Dalton?
Oh, Tim Dalton, right. Tim Daly was on Wings.
I loved his version.
He was never James
Bond. Thank you for correcting that.
Timothy Dalton,
I thought he was all right.
He was okay, yeah.
Lazenby was terrible.
No!
Who was Lazenby?
You know what? George Lazenby was only in for one movie.
He looked like Lyle Waggoner.
He does look like, he looks exactly like Lyle Waggoner. Why couldn't he be James Bond?
He would have been great.
But George Lazenby...
Dorf is James
Tim Conway? Dorf can't play Bond.
Why not? He could speak with a British accent, have a tuxedo when he's kneeling down, putting his little feet by his knees.
If you thought I was...
Eunice could be the weapons chick.
Wendy, if you thought I was up in arms when Daniel Craig was announced as James Bond, you can imagine my temperament when I find out that Dorf is James Bond.
Up in arms. I've never heard you say that.
I'm never up in arms over stuff, but that time it was Steve, I was.
You were aghast.
I was aghast when I heard that Daniel Craig was James Bond, but then I saw the error of my ways and I said, no, this is a good move. And now I'm upset he might not be anymore.
I'm looking at Tom Hiddleston and I still don't know who he is, but
have you never seen him in anything?
I don't think I've seen anything he's been in.
No?
But he looks like he could be a good Bond.
He's a little thin.
He's 6-something, though. He's tall.
He's too tall to be James Bond.
How
tall
is Bond?
Well, you wanted Dorf to play James Bond. He's not that short.
I didn't really want to. I just thought it would be amusing.
I would put James Bond at 5'11", because I am 5'11". So I think that's one of the many things
we
have
in common. Does he wear a baseball cap?
Yes. He does.
Made out of, tux material.
Yeah.
You know, Wendy, what they really have in common.
What?
That wry smile.
Thank you, Steve.
You're right.
Thank you, Steve, for recognizing.
Hiddleston is 6'2".
Ah, that's tall.
If you want your James Bond tall, how tall is Sean Connery?
Guys from Spectre could see him if he was that tall.
Oh my God.
If he was hiding out in the shrubs or something, they'd see him. I want him to be more discreet.
Again, we get back to Dora.
That's why Steve could never be James Bond. Way too tall.
Who's going to tell Mr. and Mrs. Hiddleston?
I got to call him and tell him. I have no alternative. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then some news, and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Damon John is one of the sharks on the hit series Shark Tank. We've had him on before. Always very enlightening. He's appearing at Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange tonight at 7 p.m. for a signing of his new book, which we'll talk to him about right now, probably. Hi, Damon. How are you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
The new book is called The Power of Broke. Explain the title, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, sure. The Power of Broke is a concept that, if you don't have money or resources, and even if you do, you have to have this thought process that money's not going to get you there. It's going to be your agility, or it's the people around you, like mentors, and your ability to take affordable steps. And I put myself in the book, but I also have 15 other well-known and wildly successful CEOs that have all activated the power of broke to get where they are today, like Kevin Plank, the one who runs Under Armour and doing about $4 or $5 billion a year. And he started off with nothing, was unable to pay a toll going across the toll bridge, so he had to get a ticket. That's how broke he was.
All right. And you, of course, the founder of FUBU, a clothing line that's out all over the place. And then the first season of Shark Tank cost you $750,000.
Yeah. You know, I can't say that it was a total loss because a lot of the investments have come through. But initially, you know, investing in a lot of the companies, I didn't have the infrastructure around to help support them. So I wasn't activating the power broke and having and thinking I could just throw money at them. So I wasn't being, you know, as supportive as I was supposed to be as a shark. And that's one of the reasons why I started to write the book, because I started to realize that, you know, the people that come on Shark Tank and succeed, they have this thought process that they're gonna win anyway. So they keep trying and trying and trying until they figure it out, but they take affordable steps.
Have you gotten all that $750,000 back yet?
Yes, I have. After about the third season, we made it all back in one deal.
Look at that.
Oh, that's not bad. That's not bad.
I can't even conceive any amount like this. I mean, really, it blows your mind.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it doesn't matter the size of the deal necessarily, because, you know, the $750 obviously is a lot of money. I started off my business with $40, but, you know, it's really the amount of effort you put into it, because you can put $10 million into a deal, or let's look at all the athletes and a lot of winners that 3 years outside the league, they are bankrupt, right? Or 3 years outside of winning the lotto. You can throw a lot of money and resources at, and it's endless, right? We look at the story of Kanye West, who says he's $50 million in debt. If Kanye can't do something with $50 million and being one of the most recognizable people on the planet, then what are you going to do with, you know, with $100,000? So you need to be able to do it with $5 or not at all, you know?
Damon, you just said something, and I've heard other entrepreneurs say this. I started this business with $40. Let's say you have the best idea, but all you have in your wallet is $40. What do you spend that $40 on?
Well, it all depends. Hopefully, you'll be able to spend that on your first sample. But even if you can't afford a sample, I tell people, you know, right now you can take your iPhone and talk about your concept and maybe do a drawing and maybe submit it to crowdfunding and you pick up a couple of thousand there. But you got to keep them growing no matter what.
The crowdfunding is a completely new system. And I have to tell you the truth. When I go through a lot of these GoFundMe pages and stuff, I could pick 30 people that I want to donate money to. It's terrible tragedy, like funerals and somebody's lost their kid.
Yeah.
This has changed the way businesses operate and the way people get started, hasn't it? Like a lot.
Yeah, it has. I mean, but, you know, crowdfunding often it's now on a public platform. But you look at somebody like a Mark Cuban when he was in college, you know, the story is that he called up a couple of buddies and everybody pitched in $1,000 and they all bought a bar. And you can do that today. I mean, you call over 30 friends of yours and say, hey, I'm coming up with this concept. Can everybody pitch in $500? And then you have a Facebook page of how you're progressing. First of all, you're going to find out who your friends and family really are. Right?
And how good of friends they are. Because really, who's, you know, Bill, I love you. But if you asked me for, you know, a couple $1,000, I'm
nothing?
Sorry, I wouldn't give it
That's
to you.
That's not good.
Exactly. But also, think about it. What if somebody does go and succeed and you weren't invited to the party? You would say, hey.
What about
I
me?
Money for you? Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Me? What am I? A chopped liver area? So there's a lot of ways to really go out and raise capital. But the whole theory of you need money to make money that we've been raised on is crap. Because if you look over 65% of the wealthiest individuals, or whether on Time or Inc. on the list or Forbes, they're all self-made men and women. That means they were all broke. And I mean, they wouldn't be able to get on the list if you just pass down money from generation to generation.
And think about it, too. You get free advertising on Twitter, on Facebook. If you come up with something, there's free advertising right there.
Absolutely.
On social media.
Absolutely. Today, you know, people are doing millions of dollars out of their home because there's somebody at home on social media. They have a voice, right? And they're creating a following, and they have millions of people who are following these people, and then they're converting and selling them something as well. They're selling them. They could be mompreneurs talking about the best way to take care of your children, or they could be auto mechanics talking about things. So there's a lot of ways that people are converting every single day on smartphones.
We're talking to Damon John, one of the sharks from Shark Tank. He has a new book, The Power of Broke. He's appearing at Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange tonight at 7 p.m. for a signing. That's right there on LaGrange Road. AndersonBookshop.com has all the details. What would you say, Damon? You've been doing this a long time, and I'm sure you see the same mistakes over and over again. What's the most frustrating mistake you see young entrepreneurs make that they don't need to be making?
the most frustrating mistake I see young entrepreneurs make is, bottom line is, most small businesses, the top reason they fail is usually overfunding. It's usually the fact that they have an idea and they go out and borrow this large amount of money or leverage their credit cards or take a $100,000 loan. They haven't proven the concept yet, and then they go out there and they build a $20,000 website, and they go out and get these great marketing people and take out ads, and they haven't sold anything yet, and they go and get inventory. So if you have one thing that you create and it's you're not going to sell it, well, getting $100,000 worth of it, now you're going to have $100,000 worth of crap you can't sell. You have to figure it out one by one by one. I sold one hat, then four, then 10, then 100. And that's the biggest challenge that people have. They think the money's going to get them there, and it's not. It's just going to create bad debt.
What's next for you? What do you need to do next just for self-fulfillment?
Oh, you know, I still, you know, listen, I'm part of an amazing show where people allow me to invest in their dreams, and I have, you know, I have an obligation to them as well. And so I have a lot of amazing Shark Tank companies that I work with, as well as my own companies. But believe it or not, I'm learning more from the Shark Tank individuals than they're learning from me. I'm seeing all these new ways that these kids, these millennials, are doing business, and it's helping me in a selfish way be able to apply that in my current businesses.
David, one of your co-stars, Mark Cuban, has been pretty outspoken about what the country would be like under Donald Trump's presidency. I haven't heard you weigh in on it. You're a very successful businessman, as is Mr. Trump. Is this a good move to put a businessman in the White House or not?
You know, I really don't touch on politics in that sense. I only care about
you're a smart man. You know that.
Well, you know, I only care about one thing when it comes to politics: is how many small jobs are they going to, and small businesses are these people going to help build? You know, there's 28 million small businesses in this country. That makes up 50% of this country's you know, of what we do annually. So small business is big business, and the candidate that's going to speak the most about creating more jobs and giving our small businesses access to capital and proper insurance and ways to employ people, that's the candidate I'm going to go for. And if he's going to do that, then it'll be, you know, somebody that I'll be willing to listen to.
All right. Okay.
All right. And before we let you go, Damon John on the line with us. His website is DamonJohn.com. Could you please tell Bill what FUBU means? Because he told me something
very wrong. I thought it was something dirty.
No, not something dirty. So FUBU has always been for us, by us. But the confusion or the misunderstanding is people always thought it was for us, by us, for a color, but it was always about a culture. I created FUBU when we were told that the company Timberland didn't want African Americans and or rappers wearing their clothes. And I said, who's ever going to be proud about the people who wear our clothes? So I decided to create FUBU, and I have dressed many. I was the first person to dress NSYNC because they were cool. I didn't care about their color as long as they were cool. So it's always been for us, by us, and that's it. Now it was powered by a culture that is created primarily by African Americans, which is rap. Yes, but I will dress Eminem just as fast as I'll dress you know, LL Cool J. Doesn't matter to me. So that's FUBU. And when you know what? That's what the book is all about. It's kind of like a forest bias, because when you see people come out today to the book signing, there's going to be so many like-minded entrepreneurs in the room that I'm starting to notice. They come out and speak to me a little bit, but then they turn around to the side and they find their next coder or web designer or you know, distributor or investor. So it's a big networking thing.
I live in LaGrange, so I'm going to try and show up tonight at Anderson's Bookshop in LaGrange, 7 o'clock, because I'm going to just steal everyone's ideas and get really
good
rich.
Good move. Do you want Wendy to pick you up a sandwich, Damon?
Well, out there too.
Yeah, right.
Damon, thank you. It was great talking to you. Have a good time at Anderson's Bookshop later tonight.
All right. I appreciate it. See you
right
there.
It's Damon John, everybody.
He's so cool. I live walking distance, 26 South LaGrange Road. Really, I'm going to go just listen to everybody's
take some
ideas.
Notes. Steal
then
them.
I'm going to put it up on my Facebook page and go, this is my idea. You know I wouldn't do that.
I don't know that you wouldn't do that. I'm afraid you might do that.
You know, money would ruin me.
It would. It would spoil you. All right, a quick break. A little bit more show after that. Bill and Wendy, WGN. In Louisiana, Wendy, a state representative is proposing a new law that says that strippers may no longer be older than 28 years old, and they may no longer weigh more than 160 pounds.
They're not flight attendants.
No, they're not. they're strippers.
I know, but don't they have rules and regulations like that too? Although you can be older than 28.
Yeah, I know you can be older than 28, but I think there is. That's not right.
There could be some hot mama who's 64 years old.
Exactly.
With a tight little pair of shoes.
I'm listening.
Yeah. And I mean, that doesn't seem right.
Right. Associated Press, Capital reporter Melinda Duslay reported by way of Twitter that the House was discussing a bill to raise the age minimum.
The hooker bill? Stripper bill.
Stripper bill. There's
a difference.
They're different.
I know.
They're completely different.
Some of them are.
To raise the minimum age for strippers to 21, which...
Wait a minute. It isn't already that?
I was just shocked by that, too. Could you have strippers that are younger than 21? That ain't right.
I guess 18, you can do what you want with a parent's note.
Your parents have to, if you're a stripper and
you're
applying.
Dear club owner, I hereby give permission to my daughter,
Amber,
Tiffany.
Or Tiffany.
To be a stripper.
Right.
But she can't take everything off.
That seems fair. During the discussion, Republican State Representative Kenneth Havard proposed an amendment to the bill that would make it against the law for strippers to be older than 28 and weigh no more than 160 pounds.
Couldn't be older than 28, right?
Right. That's the cutoff. You can strip until you're 28. But then, on your birthday, you must stop stripping.
After the party?
Yeah, probably after the party.
28?
I think some of your better strippers don't really get revved up until they're 28 or 29. I don't know why I
agree with you, but I totally do.
This is preposterous. According to Duslay, State Representative Julie Stokes, a Kenner Republican, that's the toy company that makes Republicans.
they have their own party, the toy Republicans?
Yeah, the toy Republicans, was outraged, as you and I are. We're all outraged by the amendment, telling her colleagues that she's never been more repulsed to be a part of the legislature. That's how seriously they take stripping in Louisiana.
Is she up in arms?
It doesn't say she is, but my guess is...
boobs.
Kevin, flag that, because I'm going to make a case against Wendy. Just flag that part of the tape.
I can't. I'm older than 28.
Havard apparently pulled the amendment from discussion, and the State House unanimously approved the bill to raise the age minimum for strippers to 21. That part, just to be clear, you and I are on board with. Nobody should be taking their clothes off before the age of 21. That's not right.
Well, not in public.
Not in public.
You can do it in private time.
Yeah.
Joe, did you want to comment on this story?
Yeah, I was just wondering, at the age of 29 on their 29th birthdays, let me get this straight here. So strippers get stripped of their stripping powers?
Yes, strippers get stripped of their stripping powers at that age, correct.
It doesn't seem right, does it, Joe?
No, there's something going on under the covers here, I think.
Right. Right. So,
Thank you, Joe. You got more? You had zanies tonight?
You made him.
Oh, he hung up.
You forced him to hang up. You put so much pressure on him, he had to hang up.
He wasn't finished. I was ready to keep going.
If you wanted him to keep going, you had to put a dollar bill in his underpants, and then he would have kept going.
Underpants.
I like to say underpants. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll find out what's coming up next. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.